today. Call the meeting to order, and we'll start then with public comment this morning. So first person who's in the audience this morning?
Well, good morning, Mr. Chair, members of your committee. My name is Roger Ewing. I'm a Morro-based citizen, and I come before you this morning with a suggestion. Friday, July 4th, 9 p.m., I was awoken by an enormous-sounding boom. I thought a bomb had gone off. Actually, it was the beginning of the Morro-Bay fireworks show. And I hate to think what that large explosion did with all the dogs in Morro Bay, the pets, et cetera, not to mention the birds and the environment and the fog. Once again, we had the Morro Bay fog helping to illuminate our fireworks show. I would like to suggest that we cancel the fireworks in the future and go instead to a laser show. I think a laser light show is much more ecologically friendly, certainly more environmentally friendly, and I think rather unique for the Central Coast. There's no one on the coast currently doing a laser light show on July 4th, and I think Morro Bay might, at least I would urge you to look into it. I'm not a techie. I was able to Google laser light shows, and a lot of things came up, but not being a techie, I wasn't sure which one to go to and what to do with it when I got there, but I'm sure you have experts on your panel that can certainly find out information about laser light shows. They range in price from $2,500 to $250,000, depending on where you're located and what kind of show you want to put on. But I do think it's something that Morro Bay ought to consider because we are in an environmentally sensitive area. And the fireworks are quite disturbing, not only the sound, but all of the material that falls into the bay, into the estuary. So we've got another year. I hope you consider what I've suggested and take a look at it and see how you feel about it and see if it's something you think Morro Bay should follow up on. And I thank you very kindly for listening. Have a good meeting and keep up the good work, because you do a lot of good work. I do watch your meetings occasionally, and I'm very impressed. So keep up the good work and have a good meeting. Thank you.
Hi, thank you very much. Laser light show. I never thought of that before. Because I will tell you, I agree. Quite frankly, I sat in the living room on the 4th of July and looked out the window. And I couldn't see the fireworks through the fog. And I'm on Piney Way. And I was kind of a little bit looked into it. Peter.
I think Peter,
really?
He gave me a little bit of a preview a few days ago. He's a little premature, I think. I don't know if he was ready to announce it, but you've done some work on this, right?
No, as a matter of fact, Roger, I was trying to keep it a secret. Thank you very much. Because what happens when you take a leap... Why, by the way, and I'll get into this when it's my turn, but we did see the fireworks, and they were spectacular, and it was commented to be one of the best shows that we've ever had. So I'll be quiet.
All right. Well, thank you for that. We spilled a few beans, but I think, instead we learned with our buttons and stuff, San Luis will copy us anyway, so really it's hard to keep this stuff a secret. All right. Ongoing public comment.
I'm here to make public comment at the same time I was asked to be here. But, Peter, the audience requests that Led Zeppelin be the theme when you do the laser show.
Well, how did you know that?
I thought we were going to do a Pink Floyd thing. Okay, Battle of the Bands.
It shows how old I am.
Well, Peter was actually going to announce that Led Zeppelin was going to come and play.
Come and play. All right, that's even better. Keep that a real good secret. I'm John Solo. I'm a citizen of Morro Bay, business owner, as well as one of the co-chairs of the new business improvement district that's been formed for the county. I tried to listen. I watched your last meeting, but it was so exciting that I watched it and I fell asleep halfway through. So, but I did listen to some comments that was made. Sorry. But there were a few things that I think needs to be clarified, and I hope you don't mind, but this is going to be probably a little more than 3 minutes comment. So, but I just want to maybe start with the history of the Business Improvement District. Business Improvement District was thought of for the County of San Luis Obispo approximately 3 years ago, and it was spearheaded by the County Visitor and Conference Bureau. And at that time, there was talk about doing a business improvement district for the county as a whole, including all the unincorporated areas and all the cities within the county. And this was business improvement district was formed in some of our competitive other counties. It's been formed in Sonoma. It's been formed in San Francisco. It's been formed in Monterey. It's in the process of being formed in Santa Barbara and in San Diego. So when Johnny Biagini came up with this idea saying that we need to do this for the County of Visitor and Conference Bureau, at that time the whole county was thinking about a 2% they were talking about a dollar figure, and then they went to a percentage. So it came out to 2%, 1% going to the city promotions committee, or to promoting the city, and one promoting the county. So that was the original thought of that. Throughout that process, give or take, and I'm not going to get into dirty laundry, it took a while to put everything together, and I joined this committee right in the process, the month that it was going to the county supervisors for approval. But during this process, evidently, City of San Luis Obispo and City of Paso Robles decided to do their own thing and basically said the county's taking too long to put theirs together, so we're going to do our own thing. So the City of San Luis Obispo, as we speak, has approved and passed a resolution and to start collecting, I think as early as September, a 2% BID fee from hoteliers. City of Morro Bay, Atascadero, and Grover Beach. And there was a technicality regarding vacation rentals not being notified properly. So at that time, they gave a six-month hiatus, saying to the Business Improvement District, the prior committee, to come back and rejuvenate this Business Improvement District. And at that time, it became pretty evident that the Business Improvement District had some people that were adamantly against it, and those were coming loud and clear from the vacation rentals group. Basically, was not kept in the loop, was not notified properly, and so forth. So basically, that was the disgruntledness of this group that was coming together. And during that process, just to go back, I did forget one thing. Every city and unincorporated areas had to adopt considering being in this business improvement district. And the city of Morro Bay, city council did pass an ordinance to go ahead and participate in the countywide business improvement district at 1% at that time. And I think it was just renewed again in this past October or whatever, because it took so long. But it's so this new business improvement district was formed. This new business improvement committee was formed, and that consists of myself, Noreen Martin, who's with Martin Resorts. It includes Shirley Lyon, who's basically representing all the vacation rentals, and she's probably one of the biggest, she is probably has one of the biggest companies of vacation rentals in the county. It includes John King, who's one of the owners of the Inn at Morro Bay. I'm just kind of keeping it in the geographical area. And from bed and breakfast area, there is a gal named Marjorie Ott, the owner of the bed and breakfast in Cambria, and I just kind of slipped my name, what she owns. But so we basically – do you?
Olaraberry.
I'm sorry. You're right. And the reason I wanted to get different people involved because the prior – committees were only hotel people, but the thing is, this was affecting other people throughout the sector. So basically, now we have a new committee, and we have also met had a meeting 3 months ago in Cayucas, and basically all the opposition people that were with this has come together and said that this business improvement district and a voice to collect approximately $1 million in fees from hoteliers, bed and breakfast, and vacation rentals is a thing that we need to do for the unincorporated areas, Atascadero, Morro Bay, and Grover Beach. So with that in mind, we're in the process right now of we are hiring a mediator, as per se, or a facilitator. And this company has done facilitating, putting together Monterey's, Sonoma's, and I believe they put one together in Sacramento, Business Improvement District, where there was a fraction going on with advisors to put this facilitation together. With that in mind, in the last meeting that you guys had, there was a few concerns. One was, why aren't we keeping the money together? And the reason I was here at this meeting last month and then I had to run off and go to the business forum meeting is because I was doing pretty much the same thing, because I was asked the same thing over there. The only thing I like to remind you is looking at history, which you probably, none of you know. County of Monterey did this approximately 5 years ago. They started their own business improvement districts. Carmel started their own. Pebble Beach started their own. Pacific and Sand started their own. Salinas started their own and basically went nowhere. And basically 2 years ago, a new organization was formed for the County of Monterey, and basically all these people were put together. And the reason for it that it didn't work is because everybody needed each other's assets or attractions. If the City of Morro Bay collected their own and did their own business improvement district, we basically should not allow any money going to promote that we're part of Hertz Castle, because Hertz Castle is not in the City of Morro Bay. We should not be making any assumption of going and doing any farmer's market on Thursdays or making anything for the City of San Luis Obispo or any other areas that are basically part of us. So, or we should not do anything about the elephant seals because it's in Cambria. So keep in mind that when you consider this, that the fractioning this thing apart and saying, you know what, I'd rather take the 1%, which represents approximately $170,000, $80,000 for the City of Morro Bay, taking that $180,000 and spending it and adding it to the Promotions Committee budget. Personally, being in the business as long as I have, working for big companies like Marriott, Hilton, DoubleTrees, fragmenting a message is not, you're basically, we're on TV so I won't say the word, we're basically going into the wind. You know, and it's gonna come back and hit us in the face. So I really urge you to really consider that and make that as part of your recommendation, that we do want to be on part of the County Business Improvement District, because basically we're taking $180,000. We're going to have representation from the City of Morro Bay. And it doesn't have to be me. It could be somebody else. But it has to be a stakeholder, meaning the person that's paying into this Business Improvement District. And the decisions are made by those people. The supervisors, the county supervisors basically accepts, use example, Michelle is the business improvement district for the City of Morro Bay representative. The supervisors basically say, yes, we recognize Michelle representing the City of Morro Bay. And all the decision making and putting the marketing plan together is made by that committee. And if we want to take our $1 million, which basically takes our $180,000, putting it into this $1 million pot, and take that $1 million, and we want to only promote in Bakersfield that $1 million, that committee can make that decision to do that. Well, it's kind of ridiculous, but they can make that decision if they want to. So the voice is not based on the dollars collected. It's based on, we would like to set up a stewardship fund out of this $1 million set aside to better our destination. I'm going to use a ridiculous example. We want to build a walkway path from the Inn at Morro Bay to the Days Inn at Morro Bay
for the tourists visiting. So that could be part of where that stewardship money could go. But that could be, and that percentage hasn't been defined or decided. And that's what this, that's what our competitors are doing. So in a way, it's a way for us to give back to the community. It's a way for me as a hotel owner explain it to my customer, because my plan is to pass that fee to my customer. As a business owner, you do not have to pass that fee to your customer. And I'm sure Ed is listening to this, because he was adamantly against passing that on to his customer. If he was going to charge $100 and the $10 TOT, which was $110, he was going to charge that customer $110, and he was going to take the $1 out of his $100 and give it to the Business Improvement District. We can opt, if we want to, as a business owner, to say, I'm going to charge $100, I'm going to charge $10 for transient occupancy tax, and $1 business improvement tax, which is 1%. So that's why the $1. So I just want you to, you know, so that option's open to everybody. So this is not a tax. It's a fee. And it's an easy way for me to explain it to my customer, because, you know, if you go to Hawaii, you'll see, you know, the county tax, state tax, city tax, business improvement tax. There's like four tax lines when you look at your folio in Hawaii when you go stay at a hotel there. And this is our way of explaining to our customer, yeah, the business improvement district, we're promoting the destination, and the customer's going, why am I giving? I'm giving you 10, I'm giving you another dollar. But at the same time, we're taking part of that $1 and putting it in improving our destination. And this is our way of trying to sell it to the customer, saying not only that $1 is going to the greedy business owners, part of that money is going to go to the people that are going to, we're going to, from an ecological point of view or an advantage point of view, whatever the view you, how you want, we end up doing it, is taking part of that 1% and giving it to the back to the community. So that's the new twist to this business improvement district. There's another thought. I can tell you that when we do this countywide business improvement district, we're going to open this up. Who's going to be our marketing? Who's going to handle the facilitator? It's going to be opened up to a lot of organizations. So one of the other things I want to say is that the County of San Luis Obispo Visitor and Conference Bureau is not the designated contractor in this improvement, in this district that we're forming. They'll be considered by the committee to be part of it, but we're going to open this up for other things. We might end up saying we're going to hire a PR agency for X number of dollars. We're going to do an advertising agency for X number of dollars. This is the committee's decision to make. It's not our decision to make. And of course, we as well, we're different than San Luis. You know, I really hope that that gets worked out in between. And I really hope that you do support the countywide business improvement district. And if you do decide, and if I have enough backing, I would love to go to the back to city council and say, you know what, we'd like to get the other 1% sent to just form a business improvement district for the city of Mora Bay and basically promote the city of Mora Bay. Because I'm going to tell you something. You know, I asked you last month about considering the study that's going on out there, and I don't know if you're going to be able to consider that today. I sent the contract out. There's going to be some come-to-reality issues going to come up when that report comes out. And I'm going to let part of the cat out of the bag here. City of Morro Bay has actually lost market share to the north coast of San Luis Obispo County. And that happened because in 2002, this promotion committee's budget was approximately $300,000, and you know what it is today. And that's going to be coming out on a report. And also at this report, fragmentation is not the thing to do. Every city doing their own thing. So that's my hiatus and my speech to you. And I'm here. I'll be here for another half hour if you can get through your agenda fast enough that I can answer any questions for you, or I can answer any questions right now.
I would make a motion that we, given that Mr. Solu has the time and business to attend to, that we move that item, which would be consideration of proposed business improvement district, for our discussion up now, so he may return to his job. I'll make that motion that we do that on the agenda.
I second.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor of moving that item of the business district so that we may continue to ask Mr. Solu questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Questions?
I've got a couple of questions
sure.
for you, John. And thank you. You have worked so hard on this. Everybody, I'm sure, doesn't know, but you've been wonderful. So thank you so much for doing everything you do. And that committee that you were talking about, who decides who's on that committee and when does it change?
The current committee or the new committee that's going to be formed?
The new committee that will be formed.
The new committee is going to be, the city of Morro Bay is going to come together. When the business improvement district passes, the city of Morro Bay comes together, the stakeholders, meaning vacation rentals, bed and breakfast, and hotel owners or managers or representatives come together and say, we want Michelle to be, and we vote on it.
Okay,
and
so it's done
like
individually.
You, I vote for myself.
Right,
I mean,
so it's done individually per city.
Per area.
Of who's
per
in,
area.
Okay.
Per area.
Area.
There
okay.
is going to be in the ordinance. It states that there is going to be one representative from each city,
okay.
and two representatives from the county, because county, remember, represents $600,000 of this $1 million pie.
Yeah.
So, and there's going to be two representatives from the county. Most likely, one from the North County, meaning probably Cambria, Cayucas. So. You know, there's that conception of, well, if Morro Bay decides not to do it after 1 year, but remember, we have to represent 50.1% of the total pie in order to be, for this thing to dissolve. We can't opt out of it if the city of Morro Bay is mad. I'm very sensitive to that because I'm going, you know, what happens if we're not getting what we're supposed to get? Because all I'm doing is forming this thing. After that, I hope the people come and put it together and market the area like they're supposed to. And if I want to be opt out of it, I have to get Atascadero and Grover Beach together with me to opt out of it, or unincorporated areas get 50.1% of the vote.
Okay. And then who has the final decision? The County Board of Supervisors? Are they the ones actually allocating the money?
No. Well, allocating the money to do the
Promoting.
For
the actual promoting.
Well, what they're doing is, the cities and unincorporated areas, their city halls are responsible in collecting the money like they collect TOT. The city of Morro Bay is responsible for sending that money to the county tax collector's office. The county tax collector's office is responsible in giving that money and putting it into the business improvement district account.
Okay. So if we have a budget shortfall 1 year and the county says, you know what, we have $1 million here sitting in this BID
fund, they cannot touch that because
money.
It's not a tax.
Okay.
It's not a TOT like it's been, you know, there's been talk in the city of Morro Bay increasing tax, TOT. That's tax. That's going to go into the general fund. The business improvement district funds are spent for the benefit of those people that are paying into it. Now, how we pay into it as a business owner is my responsibility, either being an Ed B. a genie, taking it out of my pocket, or passing it on to my
sure.
customer.
Okay.
Then, and the amount collected is, it was a little feedback, 2%, correct?
No, the amount collected for right now for the countywide business improvement district is 1%.
1%.
This is not to say, like I said, for us to go and form our own city business improvement district for another 1%. You have to get the buy-in for 50.1% of the city of Morro Bay people to say yes or not to say no to get this passed for the city of Morro Bay. But that's a viable thing to do also, because your budget is not guaranteed year on year. So that's another thing to look at.
So the county,
to be honest with you, I've been concentrating on the county so much because that one is farther ahead. That one I got the buy-in for a lot more people, and that one is ready to go forward.
No, I understand that. What was confusing me was that it's 1%. I thought it was 2% because I know Santa Barbara, for example, went from 10 to 12%. There's always been this magic sort of 2% number been tossed around
right. And Monterey is a dollar number per room. Then you go to San Jose, this business improvement district, it's how close you are to the convention center. The hotels next to the convention center pay $3 a room, occupied room. People that are at the airport of the San Jose airport pay 50 cents a room because they're that farther off. I mean, so there's you can form this business improvement district any way you want. We just said 1%.
And that's what it would look like to the person visiting me.
Well, the committee is basically, like I said, two from the county, one from each city. So there's going to be basically five people on the committee. That's
so like
it.
John said, you want to have a strong person who's really pushing
right.
that
right.
money.
For the city of Morro Bay, because right. you do not want somebody that's a weak person to be on there because they're going to be advertising Grover Beach before
right.
Morro Bay.
And the
nothing
city,
to say, nothing's wrong with Grover Beach now.
Right. and the city so far, which was once just plain Grover, right, as we know.
Grover City, yeah.
Grover City. A little sneaky. But so we have Morro Bay, Atascadero, Grover Beach. But you did say, or let me understand, that the goal is to bring in more of those people who hadn't.
It's the city of Morro Bay, Atascadero, Grover Beach, and unincorporated
areas.
The goal should be of the committee, from my point of view, not to fragment this message out there, is to bring the city of San Luis,
Paso Robles,
and Pismo Beach, to be honest with you, bring all of these people in. But I think with time, people are going to recognize that fragmenting messages isn't the thing to do for the county of San Luis Obispo, like it was learned in the county of Monterey. And you know, we're already behind the eight ball. You know, and I just hope we move forward.
John, who absorbs the costs for the collection of the funds?
In the ordinance, it states that there's a 2% of the dollar that they collect. So if you, on a $100 bill, you give $1 for this business improvement district to the city of San Luis Obispo, to the city of Morro Bay. Morro Bay takes that $1 and keeps 2 cents of it to write the check mm-hmm. and collect it. That's their fee. That's in the ordinance. 2% of the collections gets kept as a fee by the collectors.
So in other words, the total amount of the business improvement district money
is 98 cents.
Off
that $1. That $1 that's collected. Correct. That's the fee. And then, if the committee decides that they want to hire an executive for $200,000 of that $1 million they're going to collect, that's the committee's decision. And if you feel bad about that, then you go to your committee person that represents for the city of Morro Bay and say, "What are you doing?" And our goal was, and my goal is, to take as much language out as possible for administrative fees.
Now, as far as Morro Bay is concerned, who's the committee that would be talking to the representative? Will it be the promotions committee, the city council?
No, who will be talking to the committee is the people that are paying into it.
Okay.
To that person.
So it'll be
it's going to be
so
that
it'll be
person.
Hoteliers in Morro Bay.
Hoteliers in Morro Bay, okay. Because they're the stakeholders. They're the ones who, not only hoteliers, bed and breakfast and vacation mm-hmm. rentals, too, included.
Okay. I'm sorry, you go ahead.
Not RV parks.
Okay. Big discussions we had last meeting was, obviously, the city of Morro Bay had brought up this idea that they wanted to consider the concept of putting a 2% TOT tax on the ballot, and we all said, well, that sounds like a great idea because we could get 1%, except for Michelle. Michelle,
yeah.
That was a great idea.
Yeah.
But we thought, I mean, you know, like you commented, our budget is slashed. I mean,
right.
It's nothing compared
right.
to what it used to be. And it is played, I think it's played a major role on what we're able to do. Things get more expensive and we have less money.
And I could tell you that in my couple of meetings ago in the city council meeting, my wife was there and I was out of town, and basically, you know, she likes to be optimistic that this business improvement district for the county passes and goes forward, but she's also thinks pessimistically sometimes, and she basically said to the city council, which I'm for, if this countywide business improvement district does not go through, and the city of Morro Bay wants to take on taking the transient occupancy tax up 2%, let's put in that language somehow giving that 1% back directly back to the promotions committee or to a committee that could control and promote the city of Morro Bay. And that could still happen. So the city of Morro Bay could still go out and say, I'm not for this, but city of Morro Bay can go out and say, okay, business improvement district passed for the county, 1%. We're still going after 2% TOT. Well, first of all, we have the lowest occupancy. We have the lowest demand in the county. So now we're going to be the highest transient occupancy tax collector in the city in the county of San Luis Obispo. It just doesn't make business sense, number one, to me. But let's say it went that way. And if it did go that way, please, you need to, as a promotions committee, I will be there on their table standing and dancing and saying, give 1% back to the promotions committee at that time. Because I'll tell you, if it says transient occupancy tax, it's going to go into the general fund, and it's going to go into the general fund. And you're still going to look at $120,000, $30,000 budget next year. Or the year after, or the year after. And I'm going to tell you, once you see this report, you're going to see how City of Morro Bay was the top dog in 2002, where it is today. It's a tough report that we're going to swallow. But again, I'm changing the subject one more time. I really urge you to look at that, butcher it, go back to that organization and see if you can do some kind of a study for a couple, $3,000 to get some specific things done for the city of Morro Bay. So you can make these kind of intelligent decisions that you're trying to make, not hypothetically, but having somebody that studied them for the city of Morro Bay. Because the report that this company is going to put out is going to be for the countywide report. But you can do citywide specific things for us, which I gave to you. Okay, I'm off my... I'm not making a commission off of that, by the way. So
where's the city of Morro Bay in terms of, according to our conversation last meeting, we had, as David mentioned, thought that there was a 2% fee that was going to be levied on the city of Morro Bay for the BID, and 1% was designated to go to the city and 1% to the county.
No.
So that's obviously not the case. Has the city of Morro Bay talked about creating its own 1% to piggyback this
BID.
County BID?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have, but I... And I forgive me for not being part of that. I wasn't part of that. Ed was part of that.
Okay.
And Ed didn't feel he was getting enough support.
And so no one really is spearheading that in the city now.
Nobody's spearheading that in the city now. And if somebody wants to and wants my assistance, I'll be there. But I'm not going to – I can't do it by myself.
Okay.
And I can speak for a lot of other hotel owners that are here that I talk to constantly – and I keep them abreast, even though they're and there's a lot of hotel owners that are in this town that don't live in Morro Bay. You know, they live in San Luis or Atascadero and other places. So you know, it's a struggle for me too as a citizen of Morro Bay. So I'm speaking with both sides of my mouth now.
I think that certainly helped clear it up for me, the whole 2%, 1% thing. I don't get the feeling for that now, the whole idea that the 1% county BID specifically goes not to any general fund, but only to promotions as decided how it will be spent by the members who have input. And I guess the thing we'd wait on now is, I just would like to be clear, when do you think you might be able, will these mediators who they're going to hire...
We have a deadline for the county supervisors of September 16th. That is 2 months from now.
And a goal of that mediation is to bring Paso and Slo City back into the fold?
The goal of that mediation is to take Morro Bay, Atascadero, unincorporated areas, and Grover Beach, all the business sectors that were fragmented from this last go-around, meaning vacation rentals and bed and breakfast and hotel motel owners all together to come up with the same tune that everybody feels comfortable with that they are willing to participate in this business improvement district. That's the goal of this thing. At the same time, setting up a program that gives back to the community, which has never been really thought of in our language at all. Even though it's happening in other areas that this company has done, she happens to be a woman, that has done. So I think that's a good viable tool that we're going to be able to use to have everybody's buy-in. So this facilitator is to put that together.
And unincorporated areas, as you say, includes Cambria, San Simeon,
Cayucas.
Paso
Robles. So in some ways, those
areas added
Templeton.
Up. Right. Those areas added up are quite a powerhouse. I'm not looking at this as a war where the county takes on Paso versus the county, but they really are very substantial area. I mean, in some ways, then in that case, the separate entities formed by SLO and Paso really are smaller.
Correct.
Compared to what would be the might of this.
Correct. But, you know, in your mind, if I had a business in Paso Robles and I was going through this, and I owned a winery outside of Paso Robles, I'll be happy about that because I'm going, they need me. They're going to have to promote my winery in order to get their customers to stay at their hotel there. So, you know, it's like it's a mixed message going out there. So it's going to be a lot of fumbling going on with that, I think. So I really think that if we get the current business improvement countywide going, I think those other places will end up participating also. Mm-hmm. And they already have the tools. They'll have the tools in place to collecting the money. So rather than collecting 2% and keeping it all themselves, I'm hoping that they collect 2% and give 1% to the countywide and get a seat on the countywide steering committee. So, and to answer your question, Joyce, you made a comment about, you know, there's we have these power and there's only one representative from Morro Bay. Remember, there's only five people. It's one of five people. So the county is not going to have 80 people and we're going to only have one there. Okay. So so personality is going to play a big role in this.
Right. One person, one vote.
That's
a lot more demand on plumbing, all the different things that transient occupancy tax pays for. So for somebody like Avila in particular, since they're sort of a brand new destination with added demand, they need that assurance that BID is going to go for promotion. Because right now, all the TOT that goes from Avila goes right into the general fund of the county. And the county can spend that any way they want. They don't have to spend it on tourism promotion. Mm-hmm. But I think the one thing to consider is, and we made this plea to the council, and as your marketing representative, we have to consider, no matter what happens, Morro Bay is going to be in a very difficult situation, more so than now, because the budget's been cut, as you mentioned, John, from, you know, basically we have a third left of what we once had. San Luis Obispo will very soon be spending $1.2 million. Paso Robles will be spending pretty close to that, probably close to $1 million. And with Paso Robles, you have to also consider is they have a very, very big wine alliance that they have put together that promotes the wineries. And they spend about $300,000 or $400,000 just promoting the wineries. So you have to throw that into the Paso Robles promotion budget. So what's going to happen is we're going to be outspent 10-1 by our
more
competitors. Yeah. And I guarantee you, Pismo, they may not have their own BID, and I don't think they've really seriously considered that, but I can tell you Pismo Beach is going to raise their budget because they have the means to do that. I mean, they're in the black. They have the money, and they've already recognized the fact that they're going to have to be competitive. Mm-hmm. So throw Pismo in there too because they're going to probably double their budget. Mm-hmm. So whatever we do, and it's going to be – that's a serious – concern because we're going to have so little money compared to our competitors.
So, I didn't come here to advocate a citywide business improvement district. I really think the message has to go from as one as a whole. I wish the old dream was there. 1% kick in to the countywide efforts and 1% go to the cities. I really wish that's the way it was, but unfortunately it's not like that. But that's the ideal way of doing it, and that's what all these other cities that went in, or counties that did their own little thing, went back to do. They said, let's do our countywide business improvement district and let's do our own city. So, I mean, that's true what you're saying. I mean, the city of Morro Bay is going to lose, but all I'm trying to do is go $170,000, $1 million marketing budget that we'll be participating with. So, don't keep that in mind, too.
And I'm not saying that the BID would not be an answer to that. But just that we have to look, no matter what happens, we've got to consider that we've got to find some way to be competitive, whether it's the BID or whatever. It is, but that's – and people I've had questions said, well, what would you do with $1 million budget? Well, instead of running a one-column ad in Sunset – twice in a year, we'd have a full page, and we'd be in there maybe every month. And that's a big difference.
Yeah, and I think Ed has prepared exactly the graphic demonstration of that here.
I did, and I was going to talk about this later, but this is very apropos. This is one of the magazines that we advertise. This brings us probably most of our leads. We get a ton of leads from this, as the Chamber will tell you, and I know. Our ad is very nice. John has placed our ad here.
That just brings another thought to my mind about doing this countywide versus citywide. I heard in your last meeting you guys said this, it was a struggle to get in the Sunset and get a booth there because of the money we spent.
Right.
Okay. Just think if you're with $1 million machine instead of $100,000 machine. And that part of that $1 million went to Sunset Magazine, so the city of Morro Bay did not struggle having co-shared a booth with Atascadero, Grover Beach, and unincorporated areas because the committee decided they were going to spend $500,000 with Sunset Magazine, as an example. So those conversations will not be there. But, I mean, Ed, reality is reality. We only have $100,000. You're talking $700,000 PISMO budget currently. Just think what's going to happen when they have $1.5 million and we're still going to have $100,000. But it's going to be a reality. But the thing is, if we turn that and put that into the city BID, let's say we forget, you know, we take the start of citywide BID, if we keep the 120 we have plus the 170, it's 290,000. Still versus $1.5 million. We're still going to have ad sizes like that.
Absolutely. And what will happen is so, this will be Morro Bay.
Yeah. But it's going to be the same.
This will be PISMO next year.
Right.
Well, I think one of the things that's really challenging for me and that I think the committee struggles with a lot is who is our competitor? And I think that when we're talking about a BID, part of what we all go, well, then we're going to be part of promoting our competitor. Well, is PISMO Beach our competitor or is Monterey our competitor? And to me, that isn't something that we have very well defined, is who are we really competing against?
Well, there's that study. I think you guys got all the emails, right? Did you send the emails out? You have that study. You can find that out. It's going to cost money, but that's what that guy's willing to do for you, that company's willing to do for you. And there's still time because he's still in the process of putting everything together. You know, that's a very good question that you're throwing out there. You know, we as a little Morro Bay, we say we have our own unique things, and we do. But who are we competing against? Well, it depends on which day of the week we're in. You know, on Friday and on weekdays we're competing with Cambria, and on weekends we're competing with everybody else because we're always, you know, we're trying to fill ourselves in the summertime. I mean, it depends on which day of the week we are in. As a hotel owner, that's how I look at it. On Friday and Saturdays, I only call Michelle's hotel to find out how she's doing. During weekdays, I call up to the San Simeon area to see if there's going to be any bleeding coming down. That's how I do it. That's how my business is in the city of Morro Bay, right?
Well, and that's what I was going to say. I think that your competition changes, and I think that what I loved about the county idea was it's not about competing against each other. It's about working together and just getting people into the county. And if people are into the county, then, you know, let them know what's unique about Morro Bay and why they need to come here. And then let the visitor decide, because competition's good, but I don't think competing against city to city and fragmenting everybody, like John's saying, is the answer. All that's going to do is divide everybody, and it's not going to get – I mean, why not have $1 million to spend instead of 170,000 or whatever? And I think you can get more bang for your buck if you work together as a team versus fragmenting and dividing, and it's just not going to work. And I hope San Luis and Paso see that down the line in a few years if this all goes through.
John, don't you think that Morro Bay would certainly get its due, though? Because
I think we have a much better understanding of it now. Certainly we're coming to explain this to the county. I mean, sorry, to the council. And I assume that you've had this kind of sit down with any members of our city council? So they understand and are on the same page with what this is actually going to be about.
Can I ask one other final question?
Please.
So, John, do you think that it would be wise for us as a promotions committee, or wise for this committee, if the committee decides that they want the council to consider to do the BID, but also to do the other 1%
for the city?
Do you think
business
that
improvement district? Yes.
So, in other words, the promotions committee, and I'm not speaking for you.
You know why
obviously
I'm saying
that's your
that
decision,
as a business city of Morro Bay, a business owner, I say yes, because if we don't try for it, it's going to go to the TOT anyway.
Right.
That's all I have to say.
So that could be one possible recommendation, would be one and one.
Yeah. Is to start our own business improvement district for the city of Morro Bay.
But also do the county BID with 1%.
You have to give the county message. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. We're not going to compete, even with
no,
the
1%. No, I'm agreeing. Yeah, but that would be twofold, one and one.
That's right.
Do you suspect that some of those other cities, like Atascadero, might have that in mind as well, a one and one?
They might down the road, because now there's a new supply coming in Atascadero. Any day now, they're going to open up a Holiday Inn Express there, 100 rooms. You know, and the more rooms, you know, more demand taken away from the coast area as the customer's trying to come to the coast. Oh, my God, look at this Holiday Inn. Yeah, they could. Now that the Atascadero is growing a little bit in hotel rooms, they might consider doing their own business improvement district. Remember, the competitor, you know, not competitors, but other cities, San Luis and Paso Robles doing it. They're going up to 12%. Mm-hmm. And we're saying 11% with the county. There's nothing to say go 12%. And, you know, I'm going to throw this out as a citizen of Morro Bay. There's nothing to say go another 1% and give half of percent to TOT and a half percent to Business Improvement District, 50-50. So stay 12% instead of us going for our own Business Improvement District and the city says, okay, let's get another 1% TOT. Now we're at 13%. So, I mean... Where do you stop?
You could see splitting the extra 1% 50-50.
Right. That way, we're not doing the work. The city's doing the work, writing the language up and stuff like that on it, if that could be possible.
If that's done as a TOT rather than a...
TOT with the language saying half of that goes to promoting.
And, John, just to clarify, the city of Morro Bay has already accepted
the countywide
BID.
Because there wasn't any protests.
Oh, so that doesn't matter. I mean, if we all just said right now, like, we think that's a horrible idea, we don't want to support it, it doesn't matter. It's already passed. So there's nothing we can do about it.
It's passed, but I think my perception is in the next meeting, the city council can come up and say, you know what, we're not going to participate. I guess they can say that because it hasn't passed. The countywide
has not passed. Okay.
Once it's passed, it's left up to the stakeholders to make the decision.
Okay.
But us as business owners... You know, the notices went out to all the business owners. Nobody from the city of Morro Bay went up to the city council people and said, you know, don't do this. I think Andrea sent out a letter to all the business owners and all the
station that passed supporting it. And we brought that issue back a few times to council, and each time they have not withdrawn that support of it. So, and the last time that this issue was brought up was, I think it was a month or two ago, and the issue was is whether to continue to support it and also whether to put a TOT on the November ballot because the deadline was coming up. Council still supports the county BID and decided not to put a TOT on that ballot. For a TOT, any tax has to be done in a general election. So that basically means they cannot do it until 2010. There is an exception to that in that you can do it if it's by a unanimous vote. You can have a special election if it's by unanimous vote and they declare an emergency, financial emergency, which, you know, we might be able to make those findings, but technically you really aren't going to look at a TOT until 2010. So council said, wait till the BID with the county is done. Let's see how that works out. And then we can look at whether we want to do a 1% city one. If it fails, whether we want to do a 2% city one. So that's kind of where we are. We're in a holding pattern. We'll wait until their process goes through, and then maybe promotions. When that's done, we can take it up and make a recommendation to city council on what the next step should be. But the TOT, in my mind, wouldn't be viable until 2010.
But the BID, because it isn't a tax, could be approved prior to 2010.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. At any time, that can
be.
Okay,
great.
Yes.
Thank you. Public comment.
Comment. Nancy Castle, conductor, chesslivemorrobay.com. I came in a little bit late here, heard you worrying about advertising dollars. I would again like to remind you of the variety of stories that we have in Morro Bay that could get placed in a variety of publications that would be free advertising. For instance, our very best Bill Boucher is retiring as of this week. Big parties for him. One today, noon, at the library room, for anybody who wants to say good luck, Bill. He started out in Morro Bay as a CETA volunteer. People have to be old enough to remember what that stands for, but he started out as a volunteer in Morro Bay. Andrea Luker, our new general manager, started out as a pool attendant in the rec department. These stories could be great if some sort of organization could come together, possibly another subcommittee. I would be delighted to help serve on it as a plenipotentiary without portfolio. And we can get some coverage and some inches in different magazines without spending any money if we just get an organization together to put out information.
Can I comment on exactly what you just did is what I need to get it in the paper. I need to know about it. So
yeah.
If you would take that lead,
I'll call
and email me,
yeah.
Then because that's really what we've talked about with the PR subcommittee, which we have, is what I need is, because I don't live in the city and I wouldn't know about some of these things happening, is we can get it to the media, but we got to know that it's happening.
Okay. I'll give you a call and we'll start a dialogue on a regular basis, more regular basis. Myself, of course, I'm doing Chess Live for the Harbor Festival, and been a little bit slower rolling. Here it is already July, and we have, I don't know how well known this is known, but there's activity on the chessboard on Sundays.
Just to follow up on that second and fourth Sunday, what are the chances, John, of when that happens? Of Sunday's usually a pretty slow news day at KSBY of maybe calling. I don't know, Nancy, if you've already contacted KSBY.
No, I haven't, and maybe not this week, but the next time I do it, I'll get in touch with them and let them know. And part of the reason I'm real happy to do it at 3:30, one, that's the same time we're going to have the performances at the Harbor Festival, but I figure that if we're doing something exciting at 3:30, people who might be leaving town will stay in town and eat dinner, which is what the whole point is. So I'm going to be rolling along with Chess Live and other stories. Bozzo Coroscelli is having a big celebration in the middle of August, and Bozzo is very key to Morro Bay's chessboard and the large rock at the entrance. And speaking of the entrance, because the work has been stopped until the September or October, whenever it will resume again, there are all these signs put in that say detour and all of this, and most of them are covered with black plastic garbage bags. These would be an ideal place to have some bumper stickers that say Avocado Margarita Festival, Chess Live, MorroBay.com. So I would just throw it out there, and I'll check with Public Works and see who we need to contact about using those signs for promotion through the summer while it's available. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. I guess that sounds like a Caltrans sort of question. Oh, I don't know. All right. Rob, was there anything else? Here? Okay. All right. Well, thank you for public comment today. Appreciate it very much. And appreciate the patience with those who allowed us to move new business item B up for public comment. Then we will move on to the approval of the minutes from the last meeting. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion, corrections, additions? I have none. Okay. Seeing no discussion, we put out to vote approval of the minutes from the preceding meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. So moved and approved. Moving on to the monthly reports. This brings us to Peter Candela and the Visitor Center. Peter.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I'll go through what we have fairly quickly. We'll go over the 800 numbers. You can see the colored pie there, the graph that we display. We divide California into four different locations: northern, southern, central, and coast. Interesting, you can see southern. I mean, we all think that the central area of Morro Bay is where we're drawing from, but you can see there's actually 56 phone calls coming from the southern part of California. You can see June 2008 phone calls coming in, 881. Total visitors for that month is 2,097. And then email, here's the new one. It's emails answered with information. This is basically when they come in for inquiries, this is what we respond with. Instead of sending out packets, they request something else, and we provide that. So we're keeping track of those numbers as well now, so you can see maybe some of the differences. You get a lot of emails coming in. And then it's broken down in different categories, tourist packs and relocation packs. You can see how that, a total of 99 there. And then the fulfillments are broken down. And you can see, as what Ed was saying earlier, you know, how important some of these advertisements are. You know, travel 50 and beyond, you can see 247 responses there, and California Visitor Guide 267. And Sunset always brings in. And these may be just old magazines with the advertisements in, and they just happen to pick it up, and there it is, and they respond to it. So it doesn't have to be an ad to get a response. It's just, you know, an old magazine sitting on a coffee table. So it does work, is the point of it all. And then, of course, you know, calls using the R800 number, name and source, and that's kind of an interesting category as they're coming in. Any questions about that before I go on to the rest of the stuff that we have here? Nope. Good. I'll go through some of the stuff with the chamber. It's every third Thursday is our mixer. This month is Top Dog, and that's July 17th. Top Dog is on Main Street. They've really have done a number to their facility and their shop. You really should take advantage of taking the opportunity and going to this mixer, because you'll see the huge improvements that they've made. And this is it's interesting. The chamber is going out into the businesses, and we're trying to motivate a lot of the businesses to maybe take a self-look at themselves, their products, their services, their facility, their location, how it looks, and maybe looking at it as, well, maybe we should change things a little bit, put a little paint on the walls, make it really enticing for people to come in. The reason I bring that up is that's what Top Dog did. They went in and they cleaned up their inside, their outside, changed the whole atmosphere of this place. And I heard Pat and I have a chance to talk over the 4th of July, because he was one of the vendors there, and he said he has tripled his business. And grinning from ear to ear. That is absolutely tremendous, because he's also expanding out where you need to do. You need to explore other opportunities, and that's what he's doing. The internet is one thing. He's doing deliveries is another. He started a roasting house, so now he's roasting his own beans. The reason I bring all this up is that it's important for businesses to take a look at this is a really an important idea to do. Is to look at your business and refocus if you have to refocus, or just plain change things in the atmosphere. Make it inviting for people to come in. So anyway, the mixer is at Top Dogs July 17th, 5:30 to 7. So take a look and see what he's done. This is Spoon Races. We got the adults to participate this year. Rick Carr, myself, our events director, we looked out at about 3:30 in one of the events, and it was just one of the events that I just talked about, and looked out at the audience, and there's about at that time about 2,500 people sitting out there. There was not a frown on their face. It was smiles. It was laughter. It was a good time. To me, that's the success. That's what it's all about. The businesses, we're doing an interview with different businesses throughout the city to find out what kind of impact this event had on folks. And I know of three businesses that said it was the best day they've ever had. Well, those are the successful parts. Maybe we didn't make the money, but, you know, by golly, the other things, the other facets about what we're doing is very, very positive. And by golly, we saw fireworks. So it was good. So we're looking at always looking at innovative things as a chamber. We're looking at changes, and so we'll see how things go in the next year and see what the fireworks will bring. But we are definitely keeping the old-fashioned look. We may even add pie-eating contests and baking, and just pull out the stops when it comes to that, because I think that's the emphasis, and that's what people enjoy. Let's see. Some of the other things, of course, the Avocado Margarita Festival, we had an opportunity to meet with 50 growers. They had their regional meeting, and we were invited, actually, to speak at this. And I have to tell you, the enthusiasm, even with all the woes that they have, including the fires recently and the drought and last year's freeze and, all of the other things, they still are turning things around in their industry. They need help, and this is what the Avocado Margarita Festival is all about, is to let the folks know that our local growers are still here. They're doing an incredible job. Their product is above everything else, way above whatever you can see in the markets now. They are going to stay. They're going to be successful, and this festival is going to be part of it, and we are enhancing information about the growers, about the product, about everything you wanted to know about avocados and the avocado growing process will be there. We will have cooking sessions. We will have – it's just going to be incredible.
Throw the date out. People are already asking me the date.
September 20th. It's always going to be the third Saturday.
Thank you. September 20th.
And we are starting the advertisement now. We'll be working with John Sorgenfrey and his company to get the word out as well. Today is the Harbor Walk ribbon cutting. The city is going to the ribbon cutting today. We are also one of the things that the chamber is doing is we have a memorial bench going to Ed Biagini, and one of the larger participants was the Harbor Festival, and they're donating some money today, about $1,000. So Johnny Biagini and Harold, if his health is better, will attend after their ribbon cutting, and we will go down to where his bench is going to be and present the check to the chamber, who then will end up paying for the bench. And which, by the way, when the word web, it's actually a day trip with a bus company. It happens to be Silverado. They were kind enough to offer a really great deal for us to combine a package together. We're talking about a day trip and an overnight trip, Sunday through Thursday, and then even we'll see how successful that is, and then go into the weekend trip. I had an opportunity to talk to Michelle, to run this by her, and she has graciously worked out a pretty good deal for us to combine this as a package that they will promote, as the bus company will promote. And I'm talking with all of the local restaurants, activities, trying to do, whatever the package we can come up with, two for ones or that. Whatever they decide to do that makes sense for us. We'll combine it into a package, and they'll solicit into the valley, and a carless day, a carless weekend, whatever we want or how we promote this thing. But we have really a lot of interest. Actually, I was interviewed by a reporter from Fresno. What is Fresno? Fresno B? Fresno B. And about this very thing, and it was just happened to be something that he heard. We haven't even got the word out, and they're already calling us about it. So I think it has really potential, and we're trying to kick this off ASAP. So hopefully this week we'll finalize a lot of the stuff, talk to them next week, and get it out there. So maybe we can have this thing started within the next couple of weeks. Let's see. What else? There's all kinds of stuff going on, but I don't want to take up a lot of time. I know that we're doing a lot of things with the businesses, and we'll start. The next time we have this meeting, I'll go into our small business networking breakfast. There's really an interesting subject coming up, and I want to finalize that before I discuss that. So that's really all I have.
All right. Any particular questions for John? I assume that you feed John. Peter feeds John that.
We talk. Yeah, we talk a lot about a whole lot of things.
Fee stuff and that kind
right.
of. PR. All right. Budget report. Oh, yeah, it is on. Okay. It's green light here. I just haven't had coffee, that's all. It just does. Just caffeine is what it is. Budget report. Well, as Michelle and I were briefly glancing, unfortunately, May's numbers for the motel tax collected were down, as was the occupancy. However, interestingly enough, the trailer park receipts were up substantially, which Michelle attributes to bargain travel. Although,
And the weather.
So, I suppose that it's even as stable as it is, given gas being double almost the price it was last year, is something, and not as drastic a cut as we might have expected. But we'll have to see how this trends for what developed as June, and I think those will be the really telling numbers. Any other comments or note on the budget as that goes? Now, the typical budget report, of course, would be the we then get into the...
Quickly does the technical side of our website. So when we add new features, new software, and it's actually Jeremy's company that basically authored the software that we use, and we're in the process now of upgrading some of the things that that we've been doing with the website. And what I thought I would do is just kind of have this sort of informal. I know the website subcommittee has met and had some questions that they wanted to talk with Jeremy about today. But really, Jeremy's here to kind of, in one way, give us an update on some new software. I think I've discussed it before about Plan a Trip and how people can actually go in and use like a shopping cart format and put all of their trip activities into one basic printable agenda or itinerary that they could take with them when they come to Morro Bay. Jeremy, if you don't mind, I'm going to go quickly through the stats, and then I'll let you kind of show us what we're doing. Bob, can you do the overhead?
Are your stats supposed to come up here?
No, it's on the overhead. This one. He's got it over there.
Well, I have a question, actually. As Bill is on the web committee, and Bill has to leave not too long from now. Is it possible, Bill, you could relay any questions you might have? And I would say to give you answers in your absence, but you will be able to catch them later on the replay if the web subcommittee had any particular questions, or you did, that you feel you need to ask before you have to leave while we're waiting on this.
Well, I think John has got, because I am really going to have to leave, but we were just interested in...
Microphone.
Oh. Me. We were interested in a couple things about collecting emails, and we kind of came up with the recommendation that on the five places where we request emails, we would like to be able to have people opt out of getting into the newsletter. Tell them that they're going to go to the newsletter, or your email is going to go to the newsletter e-news, and opt out. And can we do that on the email portion? When somebody requests an email or they send an email, can you also ask them to join the newsletter and if not, to opt out of it?
Yeah, so John and I talked about that. We talked about the fact that we should go to every... Is this on? We should go through the website, find all the places where we're asking people for information, and put a little checkbox at the bottom of that page that says, would you like to join our newsletter? That way they're truly opting into the list.
I think we talked about having the box pre-checked that you accept.
And we could do that too.
That you accept and make them check to not accept.
Sure. We can do that.
And that can be done even on an email.
On an email.
Every email should be the same way. Everything we send them, that little box at the bottom, we just wanted to be sure that if we gather new emails each week, we're gathering emails, and we do an email to these people who we've database.
Sure.
And it's the first time they get something from us, that on each email we give them that option. So that little checkbox is at the bottom of every single email that we send to anybody. So at any time, people can opt out.
Let's define email. There are mass emails that go out to the list of email. Email doesn't work like that. Email is set up
for each person individually whether they want to accept what's called HTML in that email. Mm-hmm. If you do not accept HTML, I can't put a checkbox in that email. So there's no guarantee of doing what you're
asking.
Don't
most people have HTML, though? Doesn't most email go out that way?
No, I mean, we can go look at current statistics against your audience, but it's certainly not in the 90% like you'd want it to be.
Yeah, what we were interested in is there are five places where you ask where our website asks for emails. One of them is the newsletter, the e-news. The next one is the photo gallery, submit your photo.
Yep.
The next one is a postcard.
Yep.
And then there's a request information, which is a request. And then there's an email us.
Mm-hmm.
And can particularly on the email us, can they have an option to opt out of our newsletter?
Opt out?
Yeah. I mean, can we tell them we're going to put them into our
newsletter
if they choose not to?
Is the email us just an email comes up?
Yeah.
An
right.
actual email? So again, it's the same challenge. We can put verbiage at the bottom of the email that says we are going to put your name into our newsletter unless you email us back and say not to. I think that's being pretty aggressive.
Well, real quick, just for committee discussion, I'm not necessarily for that. I think that we should gather as many email addresses as we can gather, and then when they get the email newsletter, at the bottom of it says, if you don't want to receive this email anymore, then they click it, and then they don't receive it anymore.
It's not the newsletter. It's the general email that we get that asks, can I get married on the beach? And the only thing we have is an email and two initials. Or something like that. Some people feel we should capture that email address and put it into our newsletter email. Well, nowhere have we asked them if they want to be in the newsletter.
Right.
And normally we wouldn't keep that in our database because we don't have a name and an address to go with it.
But we could send them a newsletter. We can put them in the newsletter as long as we give them a chance to opt out, right?
Yeah.
I think the best way, and we talked about this, would be to it would be in an Excel spreadsheet, but the visitor center is going to have to collect those and then send them to me, and then we would get them put into the database, and then they would get the newsletter, and if they didn't want it, they could still say, I don't want this, and they would just opt out. And that's actually how the LA Times things works, because when we buy the LA Times direct mail list and we send it, those people can unsubscribe. And we actually get the unsubscribe because we don't have the LA Times list, so we have to collect all the unsubscribed and then send it to the LA Times. But I think that would be the best way to collect it, and I think the list would grow substantially that way. And I don't think a lot of people would probably opt out.
That's what I think. I think it's a good opportunity because obviously if somebody's emailing us, they have some interest in the city. And if they don't want the email, then they can just say, I don't want the email. But I mean, to me, I would rather capture it and send them more stuff because, I mean, realistically, when you're talking about leads.
I would like to have something on a quarterly basis about what's happening.
All right. What about the postcard? We asked for an email there.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we asked for two emails.
Mm-hmm.
Should we
ask for your
both
email?
Of those emails?
Well,
what do we
I think
do
you're
with
getting,
it?
Yeah. What the postcard function is that it says choose one of these postcards to send to a group of friends. The mm-hmm. person puts their own email in so that it shows that it came from that person. But talking about taking the people that they sent it to might be a little risky because they did not ask to be emailed by Morro Bay. They are simply getting a postcard.
Do you have any feel for how many postcards we send out?
I don't offhand.
Is there any way you can keep track of that?
Because
I even question if it's really worthwhile.
Sure.
Spending too much time on that. You know, if we're only.
I think that's the first thing we'd look at is, and John actually reports in his reports what are the top ranking pages of the website, and I don't think that even lists as one of the top 10.
I don't ever recall popping up.
Yeah, I think adding it to the new photo gallery is a great place to add it. A couple other places you mentioned, and then we would work with the chamber directly to somehow capture the emails that they are dealing with outside the website, meaning somebody hits send email, and somebody at the chamber is probably using a program like Outlook to correspond with that email, and we would have to get you to export your emails out of Outlook, and then we would import those into the software so that we could email them. And then once they're a part of the newsletter list in the software, they could choose to opt out if they wanted to.
And the photo gallery is going to be easy because we actually, my agency mm-hmm. gets those because we screen the photos to make sure that they're appropriate. So we actually already have those emails. So we could just save those and then get them, then send them over to Jeremy's and to, or just add them to the database mm-hmm. like monthly or something. Mm-hmm. And that way then, again, those people have expressed a pretty sincere interest in Morro Bay because they've submitted photographs. And they've given us their emails, so I think that would probably be a way to grow that list too. And we have those emails. That part's easy.
So keep in mind, I know everybody would love to see a larger list, but the key word there is, you know, a sincere interest in receiving information. There's a level of quality in your list that has been maintained because people have actually chosen to sign up for it, as opposed to just simply emailing them. You actually, over the, let's say it's been 4 years we've been gathering that list, have 5,700 people. I just checked, 113 people have opted out. That's a pretty phenomenal number. Out of 5,700 people, only 113 have actually opted out. You're going to see that number rise dramatically, opt-outs, as you just start adding names to the list.
Yeah, that's the one thing I'm concerned with is do we just want to add
right.
email just for the sake of saying we've added 7,000 emails
right.
and have,
I mean,
5,000 mop out.
Right. There's lots of different metrics to look at when it comes to sending emails. The size of the list isn't necessarily the best one to look at. The best ones to look at are when the email list went out, how many opens function, it'll be the next newsletter that goes out that we can actually use this new functionality with.
John, do you look at how many people open our newsletter every time?
We haven't had that ability yet, but I guess with the new software we'll be able
okay.
to. And it will be, because that's like with the LA Times. Another reason why I recommend we continue to do it is because it's so trackable. I mean, we know how many were sent out, how many were opened, and how many actually clicked through. So if we can do the same thing on our own newsletters, that'll be a great way to track mm-hmm. it. And I think that the newsletter is one of the functions of that is to promote all the events that the chamber has embraced, like the Avocado Margarita Festival. I mean, we found that's really kind of a great theme for those newsletters because we try to center it around an activity or an event that's coming. And it's really kind of the perception is to let these people, they're part of our family. You know, we want them to know what's going on and invite them to come for this particular event.
So at the present time, the chamber has about 1,500 names in a database that we've been accumulating for 2 years. Not all of them, probably two-thirds of them, we have email addresses. The rest of them, we don't have email addresses. So what you're proposing is that we take those names and send John, and you're going to send a newsletter to him, and at that time, we'll ask him to opt out.
No, we'll just put them in the news. We'll put them in the database. So instead of 5,700, we'll have, you know, 1,500 plus that. Mm-hmm. And they'll just become, when the next time we send out a newsletter, they'll get one. But as in any newsletter that we send, which is, I guess, legally we have to do that, they can always opt out. Mm-hmm. So if this person gets this for the first time and they don't like it, they can just click the box, and then the software automatically removes them. We don't even have to take them off the list.
But you don't make them ask a lot or answer a lot of questions.
They don't
Sometimes
answer.
When you opt out, you got 3 pages of questions.
No, they just simply, there's a box that says, I don't want to receive this anymore, and they just click that, and then they're gone. So it's real simple. And it's and again, as Jeremy said, we want that. We don't want them. If they don't want to get the newsletter, we don't want to waste time sending them one. If they don't want it, then we take them off. And again, there's very few, you know, we get comments because, again, our agency is the sender. Legally, we have to say who it's coming from. And we'll get positive comments from people, you know, thanks for the newsletter, this event sounds great. I mean, we have questions that they'll raise to us, too. So it works out really well. Mm-hmm. So, Jeremy, do you want to, is there any more?
Well, I just want to make sure that before Bill had to split, he covered what he had to say.
I think the questions we had with the committee.
Okay.
So I don't know if you want.
There's a microphone back for you now at the computer station.
I was just going to go over the stats really quickly, as everyone knows, part of our normal monthly activity. And again, don't be alarmed by the graph because this is only representative of a partial month. But as you can see, we're still seeing a pretty nice steady climb, especially in June, with people coming to the website. We had a total of 31,000 user sessions. And we had 24 people sign up for the newsletter. So again, we're seeing that there, you know, we are accumulating people. Over the course of this year, we've had 247 people sign up, and we had total user sessions of 135,000. Our average page view still is very long, 4 minutes, and then the third page. Thank you for doing that. There's a new statistic on here that we uncovered that's pretty interesting, and it shows at the bottom of the page, and I'll pass this. I have a hard copy. Pass this one around. Basically, at the bottom, there's a graph that shows us what are customers' interests, and these are people who have told us what they, on the website, we ask them what particular interests they have, and day at the beach is the number one category, followed by lodging, and then actually right underneath lodging is camping, which is pretty interesting.
They're kind of tied, actually.
Right, and then whale watching is very important, and wine tasting, shopping, walking, fine dining, antiques, golf, biking, kayaking, and jogging, as you see, goes on down. And then this last page is really interesting, I think, and this is a statistic that we haven't seen before, but I'll keep doing these, is where do people come from that are going onto our site. And we had almost 70%, 69.85% of the people are from California. And then followed by Arizona is the next category, and then Nevada and Alaska. And so as you can see, states that are sort of close to California come in next. But what I think is interesting is, this is, again, I hope a testament to our advertising, is we're pretty much targeted California only. As you know, Southern California, the Valley, and some outreach in Northern California. So this matches what we're doing. Our only national publication that we're in is the Travel 50 and Beyond. And that could be where we're getting actually some of these people from Arizona, Nevada, I would think, because that's our really only national outreach.
What is other, John?
That's all the ones down below.
Combined.
So it's just this, it's all these guys here.
Combined.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Arizona is definitely the second most popular.
Well, Arizona and Nevada, I mean, a lot of that is basically, it seems to me, it sounds like beat the heat kind of stuff. I don't know if that is it. It is proximity.
Could be,
but
yeah.
But they could also be going to San Francisco or to San Diego as well.
Well, I think, and it's unfortunate because we're going backwards on our air service, but, you know, as we got, you know, better air service to go in from Salt Lake, and they'll still be able to go to Arizona, I'm told. But
I still think there's a flight to Santa Maria to Las Vegas on a leisure.
Right, right, yeah. There. So we'll see how that impacts us. But anyway, we had a pretty good – we're looking like we're definitely increasing our web visits. And Jeremy, I don't know if you want to go ahead and show us this new feature that we're going to do with the Planet Trip. Maybe you could take us through that.
If everybody remembers when we added the database itself of members, it was an idea back then to see how popular it would become, see how much it'd be used, and as soon as we put that on the website, we could tell it was getting a lot of use, and in the reports you just saw, folks coming to the website and going in and doing searching against lodging and dining using these search functions that we added. And let's actually take a look at those really quick. Under Build a Trip, we built a new page that gives you easy access to really all four things. I forgot about services. So there's accommodations, activities, dining, and services. If you were to go in and search on any of these, you now have this ability to add any one of them to a to a trip planner. And let's just add a couple to the trip planner. Because, again, the initial idea was, well, people are searching on these, and that's great, but what can they do to group them all up and say, I want to hit all of these places when I'm in Morro Bay? So you simply add it to your trip planner. It makes it gray and says it's been added. And now over here on the right, you can see your trip planner building. I've got five items in it. I can go to it. And I can now organize it. I can move these up and down, move them around, and then I can email it or print it. You know, and the idea being that you're going to come in, build your trip, and then email it to those you want to see it. They could then come to the website and build their trip, and you can compare them and print them out, and those will be the places that you would visit when you were here. So, in a nutshell, that's the trip planner.
Is there a page, if you hit like a certain page that says print, what does it look like as a printed page? Is it like an itinerary from a travel agency? Or?
Yeah, and we can control all that. We just added this, and so aside from offering you to print, it's going to give you all the information on that, on those places that you've added to your itinerary in a print-friendly fashion, so in a new window here. So if I close that window, I get back to the website. Or I can email it off, and it's going to offer who do you want to email it to, and then your name to say, you know, Jeremy just sent you this trip from MorroBay.org. So, that's the trip planner. Again, we're adding functionality to what we know is already working on the website. It'll be interesting to start seeing how many people start using this and how they start using it. So we'll be able to pull those, you know, statistics and work with John on that. So
I think it's important to note, too, that this is a feature even before we had this, just the generic Plan a Trip where we had different categories. There's been several times when that's actually been our number one most visited site of the website. So I think it's something that people really will embrace. And I think that being able to do this now, I know just, you know, going on a trip, it's nice to know where you're going to stay. You have the phone number, the address, and if you've got a couple of restaurants, then you've got the phone number. And, you know, probably our next thing, and we'll have to talk in the future about this, is it's the .mobi that's the next big craze, is we would redesign the site so it fits into a cell phone screen. And I know that that's kind of like the big thing now. And you'd be surprised by how many people, and especially a younger demographic, who come and they have the internet.
App this and it would go off to
if it can be done easily,
Google Maps.
It would be a good.
Yeah, I think that'd be neat.
Yeah. So, John and I, you and I, were working on some further upgrades. Well, and the other thing, John, you're working on is videos, and that's a big deal too. I mean, this is a really nice tourism website for New Zealand. It's a site we've looked at because they're doing a lot of neat, innovative things. They have the trip planner as well at the bottom of their website, and like a lot of websites, you know, they have this section here of eight different movies, and you can click on each one, and as John builds movies. We could then move to something like this where we then offer, you know, all eight of them, and all you have to do is click on the one to then see a new movie.
We do have our – it says say we can view the movie and you can view the –
Right.
Seconds.
We have our DVD on there now, but this would be – the idea is to, you know, some of the YouTube things that I showed in the last meeting, go ahead and put those on our website as well. And these are little testimonials, so they could fit – within the different activities. So if it's a, you know, if it's a activities page, maybe have somebody who's talking about all the great things to do, and it becomes the endorsements become by actual real life people as opposed to, you know, actors or our own pre-produced spots. And it's this whole, I guess it's web to you. I mean, it's people, the TripAdvisor is a good example. I mean, people really nowadays, they want to hear from their fellow person as opposed to some critic. And just the success of TripAdvisor really illustrates that. You know, you can go on TripAdvisor and hear real people talking about where they stayed and if they liked it or disliked it and what they liked and disliked.
this seems to be taking a while for this one to load.
It's not loading. It might be because it can't stream. But a video would pop up there, and you know, like John was saying, I mean, folks want to see video today. So, and obviously, we're at the point where we can load 8 videos in a timely fashion now, and give people the ability to peruse through 8 different videos. So, yeah, if you, really quick, here was that. This is a different website, but this was that. You know, this is a list of 200 folks, and you know, this is the click through report that's new now. We'll be able to capture and start seeing how many people are clicking through. This is a website that an email that went out, and down here it's actually showing you that 3 people clicked this link, 1 person, nobody clicked this link. So it's really going to start letting us target what people are really interested in off the list. I could actually also click this list and click this link here and create a list for just those 3 people if I wanted to email just them now, because now I know they're interested in this. I could send them further information about just that.
And I'll have that report. We'll be sending out a newsletter in the first part of August for the Avocado Margarita Festival and other events, and so we'll be able to take a look at this and see how we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions, Jeremy, while he's here?
No, and I guess we had our website committee ask questions
right
left, so I think that covers that.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment. Jeremy, we really appreciate your...
...indicated an interest in the Anderson Inn, and then bingo, automatically they may get something from the Anderson Inn.
Yeah.
Or a restaurant or whomever they chose to pick on their trip builder.
Yeah.
So that could be a very powerful marketing tool for the chamber members also.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, and it's all about targeted, you know, marketing now, because we can. It is so trackable. We can track right down to the person now.
I mean, I know if I were a member of the chamber and I had 15 people inquire about my business during the week, I certainly would want to know about it.
Sure.
And then the chamber generously giving me that information would make me very happy, a very happy chamber member.
We want them to be very happy.
I know you.
It's all about that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think we've talked about with the website, it's a good site. It's never finished. And that's kind of what we've been doing with this site, is just to keep enhancing it and give people reasons, compelling reasons to keep coming back and visiting our site. You know, Jeremy, I was going to ask you about the webcam, too. I know you're not really involved in that. Do you have any status report on the webcam, Bob, or...
As I believe they're still working on the process of a stream point for it. So, unfortunately, no, I do not have a personal status with this. Billy Clayton and Scott is working on it from our office, and no, I'm sorry, I don't have a status at this point.
But I know in the website subcommittee we talked about. If it's not working, maybe we ought to, you know, put some sort of notice up or something to say under construction, because people get frustrated and they try to make the thing work. And you guys might think about doing that.
I almost recommend that at this point.
Okay.
And I'll get back to you later today on that process.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Thanks.
Just good time.
Yeah. Work things out that way.
I told a couple stories.
No one noticed.
I covered you.
To be honest, nobody noticed that I was gone. Nobody noticed. You did not see.
Actually, the whole time, that was just your blank chair was on the screen. But
you know, if they wanted to prop up a pillow and stick a hat on it, a pair of glasses, paint, that would work too. Or as long as it was wearing a tie. All right. The public relations.
Actually, I had one more thing under my agency. Peter and I have been working on an idea, and we talked briefly about this to the committee, and that is looking at going to the Green Festival that is occurring up in San Francisco in the first part of November. And Peter made a contact with the distributor or the people that organize the exhibits. And it sounds like that we have a good chance to get in. We would need to make a case for why we're a green city, which I think is pretty easily done.
Oh, gosh, I was preparing that for later under presentation of comparison and contrast to tourism models on the East Coast, but we could do that now.
Okay, well, I think that, Peter, you're pretty close to being able to get us in there.
As a matter of fact, it's a matter of pushing a button. At this point, I talked to the young lady there, and Lori, and she said, and I gave her our case, basically, that John and I kind of laid out, and she says, by all means, there's a section for us. We even have a vendor stall.
Yeah. Oh.
I believe that item is pending on the city council agenda. Would you still like Rob Schultz?
I thought they had made the motion and authorized him to go. He said he needed them to give him the go-ahead to look into it. I thought they had...
Oh, that's correct.
Right, and so having been given the go-ahead by the city council...
So you would like for him, if possible, if his schedule...
Let us know what it would... Or just fire us an email saying... it's in the works. It'll take X amount of time, or we need to prove X amount
of
money.
So you would like communication?
Where it's at.
Okay.
In the process. Because like I say, I wouldn't want to go and put it out there to the whole world and have some other display vendor somewhere go, that looks great. And,
well, I think we actually would be one of the only cities promoting, which I thought was unusual. But there's so many other folks there. And she was very excited when we started defining who we are. She wanted to know where we were, and all of a sudden interest started being generated. If we act fairly quickly, we save an extra 10%, and it's like $855 to get there.
That's not actually bad. Bob, can we get the overhead projector out here for a moment?
I think that and I don't know, I mean, Peter's probably would like some help on this. I mean, I don't know if the promotions committee wants to help on the exhibit. I mean, I think it's going to be very beneficial for us, and I've even offered, I told Peter I wouldn't mind going up to see the show and helping out in the booth.
No, I will absolutely be willing to help that booth, and I think, I don't know what you're seeing. I hear some stuff that you may not be putting out there at the moment that they might know when Bob has got his thing running.
So,
we, here in Morro Bay, I could do this manually. Do the people, for example, who are... fill out this application, know that Morro Bay is a signatory to the Sierra Club's National Cool Cities Global Warming Campaign. One of there's only one other city in the county that has signed this on Pismo.
Actually, John and I were talking that very thing, cool cities.
So, I mean, not only did we sign this, but they also know that I believe our city council also passed the resolution banning the use of non-reusable plastic water bottles at the city and public. I mean, I don't know if they asked for those kind of credentials.
Well, actually, if you could, and I guess we put this call out for everybody, because I know, Michelle, you guys have done some things too. If you could email Peter and just give him, David, exactly what you just said, just so he has down the facts, what we're going to try to do is come
a
up with...
A green sheet.
Right, because we'll need to supply that to them, but also... and it's a ways off, but we'll also need to have our act together when we're in the booth because people are going to say, well, what are you here
well,
for?
Well, and that's kind of a little bit, I'll get into this later from my presentation, but the environmental part of it is this, and here's some stuff we could send over to Bob, item one and item two, and I will direct you to these. I was spent time in Bar Harbor, Maine, and it's clear they are looking to do the same type of an approach and make the environmental part of it a thing. Here's a menu, and it's just one of a few. It just happened that I was able to take this menu without anyone noticing. Go to the bottom there, and we'll note what they are indicating on their menu. And when Bob has that, you can click to that. All our menus and materials are printed on recycled paper. And they specifically point that out. And I know that there are some upscale restaurants, for example, in Morro Bay, like Windows on the Water, that prints a new menu every day for their specials. And it would be, if they were to do that and make a point of that, that is, again, green regulation. We can't ask the restaurants to print their menus on recycled. We can't ask the restaurants and the hotels to use green cleaning. But we can say that for those who are doing it, to please let us know. And I was thinking, well, how do we make this something that we can... Bob, if you wouldn't mind... I'll get into the lobster later, and we'll tell you about the lobster, and I think that's going to come up. Is here we go, how do we do this? And here was something I just did that you can see it is the most primitive cut and paste job. I am not a graphic artist, but create a symbol that those restaurants and hotels and businesses that want to participate and say, yes, our menus are on recycled paper, yes, we use green cleaning supplies, create a, basically it's recycling rocks kind of a campaign, and create a symbol that those institutions can then use and adopt. We can't require it, but it would be a voluntary program. And below it, on the second page, I have a few other, you know, I cut it out of paper. It's, there we go, with the rock silhouette like is used on the city logo. But I think that a program like this, we have September, October, we've got August, September, October, we've got 3 months before the festival to try and put something like this into effect.
She really emphasized the importance of making sure we were green in our booth. They're supplying us with, because we fit into this nonprofit organization as the chamber, we're receiving free electricity, which is great. I mean, because it normally costs an arm and a leg. But this would be an opportune time to actually put some videos together and show the folks there what our estuary looks like and everything that we have to offer here. I think it'd have a tremendous impact.
John, is there stuff we can change or adapt from the existing footage we have that wouldn't be really expensive to do in creating a new thing to run on our monitor? Assumedly, this time we will have a reason to run that monitor.
Yeah, I think that we've got enough footage. We could just do a new voiceover and edit something like that. And I think that it would probably be a good idea. It would be nice to have some specific handout that would just talk about that would fit that show. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's 45,000 people, and I've got to believe that there are people. I mean, I think that people who are environmentally aware, as people would be attending that show, would be interested in coming to Morro Bay.
Well, and I think part of that's the ecological, the carbon footprint thing, too, because, as I say, a family of four wants to go take an eco vacation in the Galapagos Islands or Costa Rica right now. That's a lot of airplane travel and a lot of expense, but if they're a prosperous Bay Area or Silicon Valley family, and I think this is one of them. We've often talked about how do we get in Northern California. This may be, without having to go with print or TV, a very good way to get Northern California marketing.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. It gives us an opportunity to go in this direction.
Well, Peter, I'll be willing to volunteer to sit down, and I will liaison with the city council and find out what legislation, if you will, our signing of this act does. I mean, if you want to put together a portfolio of what Morro Bay has done that's green.
I think what would probably be helpful to Peter is to maybe have somebody have a motion made that we want to attend the show, and then if the committee so chooses, maybe support like with half of the
yeah, the chamber would pick up the other half.
Our booth at the Green Fest in San Francisco this November.
I'll second that.
We have second. Any further discussion on that?
Yeah, I think we could look at this, and I'm in favor of this very much, and I think we should look at this as another exposure of media. It's like we would place an ad in Sunset or any other magazine like Travel 50 and Beyond. This is another way to get exposure to a media and to an audience that we wouldn't otherwise get by placing an ad maybe in a green magazine.
Well, it is. It's going to be covered by Sierra Magazine. There's no doubt they're going to be there.
So this is this is a very good thing for us and something new, and maybe, as you say, the other cities aren't doing that we do. And it's nice that we're doing something that other cities just aren't doing by putting ads in general media. So I'm in favor of this, and I would like to call a question, since there's only, four of us?
No, five. We have five. So
five? Okay, we can do it.
So we can do this. All right, then, all in favor of the motion to support participation in the Green Fest booth? In favor?
Aye.
And I work with Peter, as say, if you want to start putting together a list of what's green about Morro Bay.
Yeah. The important thing is, if we want to just make sure we get our location, I worked about 45 minutes with her trying to get this one location. Mm-hmm. And if I get back to her and I can nail it down, which I'll do through the chamber's credit card, and we'll go ahead and take care of that, then we have months to make this thing work.
What's the exact name of the show? Is it West Coast Green?
It is the Green Festival.
It's called the Green Festival.
Yeah, and there's three locations. I believe it's Washington, D.C. and
Chicago.
Here it is right here. It's Seattle, Chicago, Washington, and San Francisco.
Yeah, I've seen their ad in. Actually, they might actually have an ad here in the Sierra Club magazine. Hang on.
Peter, I think the best, from an accounting standpoint, if you could send, it would be a bill to the city, or I guess to the promotions committee for half, then what I ended up doing, well, I'll end up billing the city, and then that's how that'll work.
Okay.
And then we'll actually pay the chamber then.
All right.
But I needed some sort of invoice.
Yeah, no problem. We'll take care of that today. I'll make sure that it's a fairly lengthy application, but we'll get it done today.
In fact, I will check into the list of guest speakers, because the list of guest speakers is pretty much a who's who with these things of the environmental movement. And I know that one of the past guest speakers has been Texas shrimp boat lady Diane Wilson, who we've had here in Morro Bay a number of times. And I'm sure she just loves the city. And I'm sure if she's on their guest speaker of activist lists this year, getting her come by the booth, someone who's one of their like keynote speakers, she'd be more than happy to promote or support that. So let me get a hold of the guest list and see what we can do to rake in some endorsements. Well, that is great. And that brings us to, now that we've done that, what is the – hang on. I have the – oh, here it is. Wow. Yes, you have – right, the – Public Relations Subcommittee, which, of course, did not meet as a body this last month. But that would bring us now to the two unfinished business items, which are the status report on the budget, which did meet, the Budget Subcommittee, and the media plan, which will, in effect, become the budget document that will follow for the remainder of or this new fiscal year.
In individual items, if there's questions. And that's pretty much how we handled it with the Budget Subcommittee, which did approve this budget, and then sending it along to this body to approve as well. And then once this is approved, this will be, as David said, this will be our working budget for the year. It's divided in categories as we've had in the past, and print publications. Bakersfield Life is a lifestyle publication that we've been in the past. It's also one that we've utilized when we have some key events coming up. We've not put the whole ad emphasizing the event, but certainly mentioning the event and using that as another form of promotion to make sure that that event's successful. And this is actually inserted into the Bakersfield Californian, so it gets the full run of the Californian. That's very similar to like a Central Coast magazine, for instance, that type of thing. The next one is Imagine Magazine, and this is a similar publication. The difference is that it's published by the Fresno Bee, and it's actually direct mailed and mailed to 25,000 households by income level. So the top 25,000 income households receive Imagine Magazine. And this is basically, again, another lifestyle magazine, but it's a little bit more high end. So we're getting that upscale visitor that can come and stay several days and will go to the restaurants and support all of our businesses. Sunset Magazine, again, we've talked about this in the past. It continues to provide us with great results. It's also something that we need to embrace if we want to continue to go to the trade show. And this is actually adding a little bit more money, so I would hope that would encourage them to do this, to let us in. I can maybe get this clarified with our rep just so that we know in the future that what's going to happen. But Sunset is really a nice publication for us because it has a national look, but yet it goes to Southern and Northern California. So, again, it's very targeted.
When is that trade show, typically?
We just had it, so. The Sunset Show?
It was May.
No, it's June.
Yeah, because we just went.
So it's possible that should this BID with the county go through with this buying clout that John Solo spoke of, we might be able to influence them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, John, when you say insertion, what does that mean in terms of size? Is that – are you just going to
– These are like the little one
the little
column
one
ads,
column
the
ads,
directory okay. ads. But what we're going to be doing is, in fact, we've – coming up on the deadline right now for September is the Central Coast Tourism – our Central Coast Visitor's Guide. And so what we try to do in Sunset is mirror anytime there's any kind of advertorial or ads directed toward the Central Coast, we try to go in those specifically.
Okay.
And so that one will be in September.
Great.
And the next one is the Slo County Visitor's Guide. And as most of you may be aware that they've actually divided it into two different insertions. So we can really only afford one. So this would be actually going into the spring. The Travel 50 and Beyond has continued to be overwhelming success for us. And I think that what we're going to try to do with part of the PR plan is to get a story placed with them, because I think that we could encourage their editors for that. And then 805 Living is a publication that's another high-end sort of Central Coast magazine type publication that hits the Ventura Thousand Oaks
entire year.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Great.
And so the LA Times website is actually the latimes.com, which is basically the email newsletters that we've done in the past. Again, these are very successful for us. The nice thing about these is they're very targeted oriented. We can pick household by income, by location. So if we, in other words, if we want to go into Long Beach and we want a household income of $125,000 and an age of 55 plus, for hitting those empty nesters again that can come in the middle of the week, we can direct that list for that. And then again, is it very trackable, as I've already covered. And then with the website and maintenance development, that's the fund that we have to work with to keep the site maintained and do updates, as well as putting the video on. That's a goal for next year. We've already got the Planet Trip underway, and that was out of this last year's budget, so we'll have going in that we'll have this amount of money to proceed ahead. And then one of the ideas, this is a brand new thing, is to look at some of the key television websites like in Bakersfield and Fresno, and local people there tend to go to the television websites to get their weather, the news, and we would actually get some banner ads on the television websites. And a lot of these, if we're placing ads with them, we can get almost as value added. But I put a little seed money in for possibly the stations that would require a little bit of cash along with doing this for value added. The public relations plan, I've actually reduced this by a couple thousand just to try to cover some of the other categories. And I apologize, I will send this to everybody, but basically this was the plan, similar plan that we had last year. And really what this money is used for...
John, you know what might help? I'm not trying to get rid of Bob, but if you sat where Bob was, you have a mic there, and you put that on the overhead, you could do...
I think I can run through them.
Okay,
yeah,
here?
And then
okay.
I'll send everybody just the recap. But
okay.
But basically, the objectives of this plan is to help increase the impact of Morro Bay's promotional campaign by garnering credible media. This, in other words, this is a way for us to increase our budget without having to spend additional dollars and increase our exposure. And to make it easy for media professionals to find the information that they need, and we've incorporated that on our website, but also send them press releases and increase tourism. And again, another new category or new goal is to develop a green position in the press as it relates to activities the city is doing to go green. So that will be a big part of this PR effort, is to go after the media and positioning ourselves as a green city. And position Morro Bay with the empty nesters, baby boomers, as the city that they can remember from the 60s and 70s. And I think Susan's brought this up a couple of times, is that reminding people that this is it will take them back to their fond days of those times.
Well, may I suggest if we are in San Francisco at a green festival, it is the 40th anniversary of the Summer of Love, 68-08, and that might be we may create some visuals around that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And again, the plan basically is we've got press kit folders. I think everybody's seen those. We developed those last year. Inside those folders, we put a press release. We have our DVDs. That goes along with that. And we send that to four times a year to different media. We send about 30 of those out each time. That's how with the Harbor Festival, the Car Show, Bird Festival, Boat Parade, Avocado Margarita Festival, Kite Festival, Photography Festival, which again is a brand new one. All of those receive a PR effort by us. And it sort of goes unnoticed sometimes because I don't really come back and show you all the different things we're doing, but we send out press releases. And in some cases, like with the Kite Festival, we sent out the footage and sent that to the TV stations. The problem is, without having a clipping service, which is very expensive, we're not really ever sure what we get placed, but we do get calls from strange places sometimes and that we're not advertising in, and we find out a story's been written. So that's really our only way of being able to find out if a story ever got placed. In the case of like a story like with Coastal Living, I mean, they actually called us and got more information, so we knew that was going to happen. And further develop the media section of the morrobay.org website to direct media to the website to get all the necessary materials that they need, photographs, press releases. And as I mentioned, the press kit, just to, again, what goes inside there is an introductory letter talking about Morro Bay, a list of story ideas, the DVD that we've just that we produced last year, 2 years ago. Current press releases. We also send an annual calendar of events to the publications. The destination guide, which we still have some of those. I've got a couple boxes that we pulled aside so we could still put those in the press kit. And those are all at our agency, so we're able to do all the fulfillment right there at our place. And again, just for the press releases, what we're targeting would be the 4th of July, the Merchant Street Fair, Art in the Park, Harbor Festival, Christmas Street Fair, Lighted Boat Parade, Bird Festival, Tall Ships, Morro Bay's Nature City is another idea for May, and then, or excuse me, March, and then the car show and the jazz concert. And again, I think that we've always been sort of frustrated to try to get as much of our calendar of events, like in Westways and those types of publications. So what we're doing now is just sending them a complete calendar. And sometimes they'll put us in, sometimes they won't. They sort of rotate that around. But that'll be a big effort on our part to try to get more of that done. And again, with the website, quick facts about Morro Bay, the photo archive, story ideas, press releases, the calendar of events, and request a press kit, and media and film contact information is all on the site now, so we monitor that. So if we have a request from somebody, a writer, then we can answer that on Morro Bay's behalf. And then also Peter gives us leads when somebody from calls the chamber, and there's times when sometimes they just handle it on their own if it's fairly simple, straightforward, what they need, or they'll call us and we help out on that as well. And just getting travel writers to come and talk about us. So that's the PR portion, and I budgeted a couple $1,000s for the photography event because I know that we're probably going to need some funds to promote that since it's a brand new event, but we're hoping to do a lot of that with just our PR. The fire sale budget, which is our contingency fund, and that's really there to take advantage of any other opportunities that come about and things that we may not have considered that come about in the future. And I put $4,000 for local outreach, and this is still sort of an open category, but we've talked about the stay local. I think we need to put some money aside for that effort, and I would hope that we could double that through either co-op or possibly working with like a radio station or a TV station and tell them that we want them to double the schedule and they become a party in that. And I sent out the charter is in the process of doing a kind of a stay local campaign, and they're supposed to be putting together an added proposal for us, but that's something that I think that was real smart on their part, because I think a lot of people are going to look at staying closer to home, and I think targeting Santa Maria and Paso Robles particularly I think would be wise on our part, and letting people know that that they don't have to go very far to have a great time. Then the billboard rework, would strongly recommend that we remove the artwork that's on there now and do a new artwork. And I proposed those couple ideas the last meeting. Also, I think we need to talk. I know we've talked in the past about getting the trimmed. I go by there every time I come to the meeting, and it's getting pretty overgrown.
So, John, on the billboard rework, that is enough money to totally redo the billboard?
Yeah.
Okay.
That should be enough for the
vinyl and the printing.
Right. It's predominantly the vinyl and installation, because we've done the design work out of last year's budget. So, yeah, it's probably be a little bit less than that. The vinyl's really gone down.
Good.
It used to be $1,500 just for the vinyl. Now it's about $500, $600. So that should give us enough to be able to do it.
For the trimming, Peter, any update on that?
Yeah, I spoke with John Jones. He's more than happy to do that. I'm meeting with him on Friday to find out, you know, what we really want done, and then I told him I would hire someone out, and he suggested that he'd have his workers do it and then bill us.
Great.
Okay. I noticed the empirical evidence I hear is someone comes up to me on the street and they say, "Yeah, that billboard's like, and why are the words near the bottom where you can't see those?" So we will address these issues in subsequent redesign of the billboard.
Well, and also I think too that there was an effort to try to maximize the whole use of that board. And we probably ought to go back to what the true size of that board is. And that's going to take about 2 feet from the bottom and move it up. I mean, it won't move it up higher, but it'll move the image up 2 feet. And I think that's probably one thing that hurt that board.
And getting the text or the website across the top rather than at the bottom where you have to worry about the trees on an ongoing basis.
And then looking at the California State Visitors Guide, this would actually be a co-op with the county VCB. It's very expensive, but that whole, I mean, to run a page in that would be about $15,000. So as you can see, by co-oping it, it makes it somewhat affordable, but it's a great publication. And if you type in Travel California into Google, you go to that site. And so I recommend that we continue to support the county in their co-oping with that. And then television, KGET in Bakersfield, which is the NBC affiliate. It's a strong station. And again, what we've done in the past is we sponsor the weather. And actually, on those stations, they'll put in weather from the Central Coast. They'll talk about Shafter and Delano, and then they'll mention Pismo, and they'll mention Morro Bay, and they mentioned some of the key beach cities. So it's a real interest for that audience of what's happening over here. And then we've talked about trying to have a little bit more outreach in Northern California. And I'm thinking that maybe we might want to run this, not necessarily in San Francisco, but maybe like in Monterey, and give those people an opportunity to come down here. I know we sort of exchange visits. I know a lot of I love going to Monterey, and when I see people up there, we tell them where you're from. They say, oh, we love going down there. So I think it would be a good outreach for us. And then finally, we've talked in the past about having this radio remote, and I think we could probably try to do something maybe with the bus line as well, with the Coast Flyer, and see about trying to get the radio station to come and broadcast live here, but maybe bring a busload of listeners and promote it that way. And that way we could fill up some hotels and have these people stay for a couple of days. I know that that's the way it's done, been done down in LA. I've never done it like that. I've done a few remotes, but having the bus come might be kind of a neat little part of that. We can kind of work together on that. I mentioned the owner of the, his name was...
What, Jim Fetterman from Silverado?
Yeah, he was really excited about doing that. And he said, hey, I'll give you guys a great rate for the bus for that.
He has actually done that. And that's why it became feasible when we did this little fishing expedition. But he's very enthusiastic. We should have our final contract on this, you know, and that could be the kickoff. We could definitely, because it's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, one way or another, get a feel of how successful it will be, and then certainly jump right into the radio.
We've definitely got to play up get a news story here, or a TV or media print, when the bus arrives right here with the people beating the cost of gas coming here on a bus this summer to do that. I mean, you let me know, and I'll call my folks at KSBY or something, and make sure they're...
Well, I think Ed will attest to this, being a longtime radio executive in sales, that stations love this kind of stuff.
Oh, sure.
Because it's great for their listeners, it's fun, and it's a great, you know, they might even do it during the ratings week, just because it's something that will get a lot of attention. And when you partner with a radio station, the nice thing about it is they do a lot of the heavy lifting. I mean, they'll promote it, they'll run free promos on it, because they want to fill the bus up too. They want to make it work. So
you can get them to do some print ads locally on their budget.
Right. So we'll work to, maybe you can help me on this one, and we'll get our due. But I think that we're looking at, you know, maybe doing this down in Ventura. Also, I've done it with KJUG and Tulare before, so that could be another possibility. But we want to pick a good station, and really when they conclude this, the listeners of that particular radio station know everything about the destination. They know everything about Morro Bay. And we would certainly have our mayor get on the air and speak and welcome everybody. And I think it'd just be a great event. It'd be a lot of fun. It's great for the DJs. They feel like they've won this major prize because they get to go on all this fun stuff and then talk about it.
I was also wondering, I noticed the cable television in Northern California, wondering if maybe a time to do that is if the Green Festival's in November and the Bird Festival's in January, that December might be a good month to start that. Do you follow up on one as a preamble to the
right
other?
Yeah, that would be good.
John, what's your feeling about the San Jose market?
it's a good market. It's really, you know, where we get the dollars to do it. San Jose Mercury News is pretty expensive. What we might consider is maybe looking at the San Jose Mercury News website and going on their website as opposed to, you know, trying to get into the paper. They have a, I've looked at their site. They have a travel section. And maybe we could move some of the contingency dollars, you know, into that. But I think it's a viable, especially after going to the Sunset Show. I mean, there were a lot of San Jose people, you know, from that area that, that come down here.
My thinking was the Northern California market money that you have for cable mm-hmm. television in Northern California, maybe to spill some of that money not only in Monterey, mm-hmm. but also into San Jose.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can take a look at that.
I was wondering too, John, with the KGT, mm-hmm. it seems to me like it'd be good to sponsor the weather at a time where they can say it's going to be 115 here today and it's going to be 60 on the coast. But we have November and February, which aren't always the best weather months for us here because it could be raining. I mean, I don't know. Is there, I know that we obviously get a lot of we've talked about this a lot. I mean, we get a lot of people already in the summer, so does it make sense to do stuff in the summer? But seems like that would be a good time to sponsor the weather.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I think that really this is geared around going into that shoulder season when we need it. They do have tule fog there.
Yeah, that's true.
And our Novembers are pretty nice. But maybe February, you may be right. You know, and it would be a shame to advertise in February and have it rain all month.
Right.
So I can look at maybe moving that into maybe more into the spring.
Yeah. I don't know. Just a thought.
Well, you could often always be able to say that they do have the state's worst air quality. And whether it's rainy or sunny in Morro Bay, you can inhale deeply without fear of lung ailments.
Unless there's a big fire in Dixon.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's definitely true. I mean, you can see why. All you have to do is spend one day there in the summertime and understand why people love fog. I mean, they would just prefer for it to not even be sunny. And after, I think I mentioned this before, but I did a TV shoot one time, and it was about 109 and humid. And I was out all day outside, and I, like, kissed the ground when I got over that hill and saw the fog, you know. And I finally really got why people, because you talk to somebody from the valley, and you say, well, I'm sorry it's foggy. They say, hey, this is great. So even our fog is attractive.
One thing I want to point out, though, too, like Heather's saying, I think this summer, though, we're not filling up like a normal traditional summer, so why not do some advertising over there to remind people to try to travel, because I know summer right now hasn't been looking quite like summer. So it'd be nice to maybe...
Well, do you want to maybe move the February and do it in August?
I would vote that that's a great idea, because I think another thing that John pointed out true earlier is you've got a lot more rooms that are coming on board. So there's a little bit less... There's more supply and less demand, and that's really affecting Morro Bay. We're seeing it with our TOT numbers. And everything we've projected in the future is not looking up.
And then I think probably then utilize some of this local outreach money for the next month or two.
We'll call this a summer crush. And
great.
So that's the plan.
That's good.
All right. I would say...
John, this is Bob over here. I did want to mention that the webcam is up and has been running for 2 weeks without my knowledge.
Yeah.
But enjoy the fog. Pretty pictures of clouds out there. But the scrolling problem that you're seeing here is just the computer problem that I'm having here on connection. But the webcam is working, and just want to report back that we got it done.
Great. And I was just relaying that from the, I remember that was one item that the website subcommittee had a question on.
Well, having heard that report, then I guess the next step is to motion to approve this media budget plan as presented and noted here today for the committee. So
before we do that, I have one question. Does this, Bridget, I have a question for you. Does this media plan and budget now have to go to the City Council for their approval? Or do we?
I really don't.
Unfortunately, I'm the wrong person to
ask. I don't recall
I'm the only
it
representative
any previous
here.
Would it be advisable to make
I believe that your whole budget goes to the Council, yeah. And then the committee decides what to do with that budget.
I can just tell you what we've done in the past is that we, you know, basically get what the budget is, and then we do exactly what we did today, and then really more as a courtesy.
That's what I was going to say, as a courtesy.
We give the council a very brief overview of what we're going to be doing. And we actually did that a little bit, sort of a kind of a teaser as they were looking at the budget.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of told them what some of the things we were doing. But I think just as a courtesy, it's good to let them know, you know, kind of what we're doing.
And I agree. I think just as a courtesy to say, here's what we've done with your money, and not that they're going to approve it or disapprove it, but just let them know as a courtesy. Mm-hmm.
And one,
might be a good idea.
I'm sorry. One thing we might consider, and this maybe would be after the elections, but I know that we had a couple of different joint meetings, and those were really productive just because it gave everybody enough time. You know, when we have 3 minutes, it's pretty brief on what we're doing. And I know the council enjoyed it, and I think they really they were able to find out a little bit more about what the challenges are. I know a few were just amazed by what things cost. You know, what an ad in Sunset Magazine costs. You know, a little one column ad is $4,000 or $5,000. So that may be something for the future to think about and try to see if you can get a joint meeting.
Maybe it'd be advisable to invite them to one of our meetings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
John, is the media plan something that you will email to the council, or is that something that we need to take care of?
What we've done in the past is we've got on the either get on the agenda, or we've even gone in during public comment.
Oh, okay.
And I've usually, again, this was something that Ed would do. Ed would kind of give them a little brief overview, and then I would go in and give them what we've done. I know one time we actually showed that when we had the DVD done, we were on the agenda and we presented the DVD. So probably what would be fairly soon, if we could get on the agenda, probably take 10 minutes. And present our plan, and it'd be nice to have a couple of the promotions members do that too.
All right. Well, we should look into doing that then. Bridget, how do we do that? We have to get a council member to put us on the agenda. Is that it?
I would recommend that John emails Andrea Luker, who's the city manager, and she will be, she says, at your next meeting. And request that be
okay.
placed on the agenda, because I don't have the authority to recommend placing anything on the city council
agenda.
Though
an individual council member can request to put something on the agenda, right?
And that is correct.
Well, I'm totally comfortable with doing that, and I'll copy everybody on that email and just explain. And I'm sure Andrea is aware of what the status, you know, what we've done in the past. So, I'll make that clear that this is something we've done in the past, and it's really more of a courtesy to the council to let them know what we're doing with those funds.
All right. Well, then now that we're all present, Peter.
No. Go finish that. I have to leave, and I just want to make one comment if I can. One of the things that's happening tomorrow is the United States National Slalom skateboarding competition, and that begins tomorrow, and you can see it on our website. I guess you can't span over there, but it is on our website front page, and it'll give you the dates and times, and it goes through Sunday, and this is a national event, and it will be publicized nationally. So it's something that everyone should come out and to the streets and see, and there it is right there.
I heard it on KVEC this morning. They were promoting it.
Right. KVEC seems to help us out a lot there, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought I'd throw that in there.
All right. And to mention that where you'll be at 4 o'clock this afternoon, which is down at the Harbor Walk entrance for the ribbon cutting at 4 o'clock this afternoon here. All right. Well, then, now that we're all present, I will make a motion to approve the budget and media plan for budget as presented by John Sorgenfrei and Tom Jones Advertising.
And I will second that motion.
Any further discussion on the budget? All in favor of approving the media plan 2008-2009 expenses? In favor? Aye.
Aye.
So approved. All right. That takes care of our unfinished business. New business, kind of, we already moved item B, the Business Improvement District discussion has been held. And A and C, which I had placed on there, was kind of already discussed. The green concept, which is what I discovered while I was on the East Coast, has already become part of the discussion for the Green Festival. I showed the examples of the menus from the restaurants as well as the symbols. But I also noticed the review of the study of the fishing industry, which was that like 200-page PDF file. I don't know, has anyone had a chance to read through it? I did. Anyone else? Okay, well, at your, I really wish they, I wouldn't get a printed copy. It's much easier to deal with than having to click a page at a time. However, in summary, I did come across one particular point that I think came up of interest. They did say that, does fishing and fishing culture have an impact? Yes. Do people, were asked the question, would you prefer to eat in a restaurant that had a view of fishing boats or not? Yes. And then they had an interesting thing, I thought. Does the fishing imagery appear in the brochures and promotional literature from the city? And I thought, aha, that's a very interesting thing. Because one thing I did discover on the East Coast, in places like Bar Harbor, Maine, is, and here's some stuff for you, Bob, to put up on the machine there. Is you can't get away, sorry about that, you can't get away from this lobster theme. I mean, at first it was almost so corny, I couldn't believe it, because the town is older and it's quainter and, you know, Morbay is a newer, they have brick buildings there, it's an older, more developed type of place. Everything is lobsters. Lobsters, lobsters, lobsters. Now, they're lucky. They have lots and lots of lobsters. There is no shortage of lobsters. Not only is there not a moratorium or a quota on lobsters, there's an actually deliberate quota on lobsters to arbitrarily keep the price high. So they have no shortage of fish, but there is lobster ice cream. There is, and I thought, yeah, I know, I make a face at the lobster ice cream. I didn't have it either. I did have a lobster omelet for breakfast, and I ate a lobster for dinner every night. You can't help it there, and it's half the price of lobsters elsewhere. And so while there's an abundance, of course, and so it's easy for them to promote, but you can see the whole lobster thing is part of their culture. Now, on the screen what you're seeing is, though, in the literature, the pictures of fish and fishing do appear. The fishermen make extra income taking people on fishing tours. And while I know we have things like Burgess Landing, and there's a charter, or I would call it semi-professional fishing interest, the casual tourist doesn't necessarily come here for fishing. The angler who wants to actually go out and get rockfish does. But these tours, you can see, are designed. You come with a family, and your kids want to go on a working fishing boat. And they do put a lot of effort. And I at first thought, well, I'll just show up. How many people are going to go on this thing? You know, I'm not a very good sailor. It's $39 or so to go out with Captain Jack there and do it. Sure enough, I didn't get on. 27 people already showed up to go out on the... I was surprised that these boats were going out full of people and families just to watch the guy haul up a lobster trap and dangle a lobster. And I thought, well, there's a way that the fishing industry could look to create an outreach that's based not necessarily on catching the fish, but on just being out on the water with fishermen who fish. I don't know that that actually exists in Morro Bay at this time, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if anyone at the chamber, I mean, you deal with the literature, you see the stuff down there, that I know we have, like I said, sports fishing, but fishing as an educational tourism outreach thing. I don't know, Ed, have you seen any literature?
The subsea tours go out, and they do it. They take children out.
But it's not a working fishing boat.
No.
That's what I'm saying. These are actual working fishing boats that say, look, the catch is low right now, or we sold our permit off, or were bought off by the marine conservation people to not fish, but does that preclude them from pretending to fish or showing people how one would fish? And that's a way to use that fishing boat asset.
How would you show someone how to fish if you can't
fish? Well, I think
fish.
You can fish for sort of fun, so to speak, or it would be really what would be the catch would be a sport fish catch, I guess. You know, what you would be limited is if you were an ordinary citizen. But it's you're out on a boat and you tell, and what these guys really do, it's not about the fish. It's the tall tales they tell. As we spoke earlier, that most dangerous catch, which is the hottest rated cable show now. Right. When you get these guys and they're old Cajun sounding fishermen, it's the stories. It's about the experience. They've turned being a fisherman into a bit of performance art, as opposed to just being, you know, a fisherman. And that's where the tourism part of it comes in. It's sort of like the Disney, it's a small world, but if you really had real French people and real German people, and it wasn't robot puppets. And the important thing here is, too, is again, is the fishing literature. I began to look through some of our, like, lobby cards and things like that, and I didn't see fishing boats.
Well, I think that it's important. A couple of years ago, we decided to not abandon the aspect of a quaint New England fishing village, but we also decided we needed to get away from that positioning because we're really not that anymore. Because the way that the fishing industry has been hurt. And so there was really a desire to move away from that branding because we really felt like we weren't that really that anymore.
Well, here's what's interesting is, and it may be we feel it, but as I say, in reading this report, based on their data and their collected questions, people who come here may still be perceiving that. Because we had very high ratings in the 70s and 80% of, and we beat Crescent City and even Monterey in their statistical analysis of who associates Morro Bay with working marine harbor. No one associates Monterey with that anymore. They assume it's all Cannery Row, and people don't associate it as well. It was like in the low 50% for Crescent City. So, but maybe our perception was we wanted to change it, but at least, and we'll go back and maybe I will, because it is hundreds of pages, maybe just try and print those pages and bring them for the meeting next month, and we might say based on that their study showed that people had that perception, maybe we might think about tailoring some outreach to that, especially with the council having discussed this issue about revisiting our initiative Measure D about actually now opening the northern end of the Embarcadero to more maritime related themes and shops.
We might want to get in touch with like Verge's Landing and see if it's something, you know, they already have the boats, and is that something that they'd be, have they thought about any of this? Or?
Well, there's a fishing association, you know, so it probably would be good to, you know, let them know that, hey, this is an idea. You know, everybody's trying to reinvent, you know, how they do things. And I know, like, with, you know, with the whale watching, I mean, you saw how big a category that is. And granted, they're not here every day or to all times of the year. But that's a good example of how, you know, you can change to try to keep yourself going. And so that may be, you know, something. And it is going to be, I think it is sort of tough, but maybe through being really creative and taking people out, if you had really kind of a program. I know my dad taught me a long time ago when we didn't catch any fish, he said, you know, son, we had a great day of fishing. We just didn't have a good day of catching. So maybe you just, you know, you could actually go out and talk about the different lures you'd use. And, you know, you could give a pretty good lesson without bringing in a fish. And you know, I think the other thing, though, that's important is that they are still fishing. There are still fish that they can catch. And so there is still that possibility. It's just been limited.
Yeah, and it's another right, because the fish catch is limited, and you know your revenue from the fish you bring on board is limited, but the number of people who stand around paying the $39 to watch you catch those limited fish and to have that experience is an added, yeah, versus the cost of the diesel and the weight that would be involved in transporting them out there. It's letting them in on that for an extra profit as well. Or even then the fish goes back to our market, and we know they unload fresh fish because we know they sell it by the pound, and you get to say, and we went out on the boat today and chopped it up and took home a few fillets as well as our souvenir from that. We bought by the pound. So maybe this is the kind of thing I should, and Joyce, perhaps you can help here, get this to the agenda people at the Ed Biagini 3 Thursday business forum session, because I know that does become an issue. I don't know exactly how to get on Chanel's mailing list, but that might be a future subject.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my East Coast, West Coast tourism analysis.
There is one item that we might want to discuss, and I don't know where it's already probably passed on this agenda under the budget, but the budget subcommittee, because John Sulu had brought up about the study, and the budget subcommittee elected not to contribute any funds to that because we just didn't feel like that there was, or they didn't feel like there was any funds available. Didn't know where we would take the money from. So I think that from my understanding is the Economic Vitality Corporation is going to make a presentation to the council, I think that's next Monday, and ask for some money. But that, I guess, just to be on the record, Ed, you will attest to this. I mean, we just figured that there wasn't the funds to do it.
As I recall, there was not a concrete price. It was, they hadn't come back.
Well, it was $8,000, and there wasn't any offer for anything less.
Right.
And maybe that was incumbent upon us, but
I was under the impression that it was $8,000 and that was that.
Right.
I mean, I didn't realize there was some negotiating.
Well, I think also that there was a little bit of concern because on the cover page, San Luis Obispo is spelled O-U-I-S.
L-O-U-I-S.
L-O-U-I-S.
They spelled San Luis Obispo County wrongly.
That was... the accuracy was concerned. Yeah,
by the way, I should let them know, so I noticed on the website they had amenities and links, and one of them was Amtrak with a T-R-A-C-K, but it's T-R-A-K. Mm-hmm. But anyway, sometimes people, spelling counts. I know these days, the kids don't seem to pay attention to that.
What else don't they do correctly?
Well, you know, one of the things, too, is we thought that some of their information was information we already had, or we had other ways of getting that information. It's a little redundant.
Well, I don't see how you do a study on the county if you don't include the people that aren't paying. I don't see how you could get real data then, frankly.
Well, they're going to include Morro Bay. I just don't think they'll break out the statistics for Morro Bay. But when this study does come in for the county, there still will be lots of information in that study that we can look at and use. And you can extrapolate from that study what Morro Bay's position would be, because we know what we are.
Well, very well then. Any other new ideas to discuss? Other than the cheese omelet I have in mind to make for lunch. Declaration of future agenda items. Well, Bridget, have we declared anything other than other than having some kind of a report from Rob Schultz on the trademark update? I don't know if that's an agenda item or just a notification.
I thought you wanted an email communication.
So that's not an agenda item. Okay, so that'll be fine. All right. Then having no future items for the agenda, next month's meeting will be at the regular time and date of the third Thursday.
Yes, thank you for accommodating me.
And we'll make sure that I'll pop by and update Susan on everything that happened in case she doesn't have the patience to watch it all on Access Television, which I now have, by the way, folks. I got free, well, to say, quote, free cable from Charter thrown in with my high-speed internet. Finally, I am now able to watch these meetings. And I watched last month's meeting, and the first 5 minutes I said, whoever that guy is, he's crazy. I'm turning this off. So I switched channels. But for those of you who've been patient for all 3 hours, thank you so much. And again, our public comment is at 8 a.m. third Thursday in August. You're certainly welcome to come and participate. Thanks very much.